Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for joining us here for the FT After Hours. Really, Wayne, all I can say for this podcast is wow.
Actually,
for a couple things, and we're going to take you behind the scenes here a little bit, but if you could see sometimes what goes on here behind the scenes, you would actually laugh, as we have lots of things in store for the podcast, and we had a great breakfast this morning and get down here and realize that we have no board here. So we weren't sure if we were even going to have a podcast today. As we were scrambling around, I found the old board upstairs. We gathered up the H4N, and we're going old school here this morning. We got it working. We don't know what the sound quality is going to be.
Yeah, we'll apologize right now.
but it's working, so yep. we'll see what happens and get this thing going. All right. The other wow is Flight Fest 2015 is here and gone. And, man, unbelievable.
Yep.
Literally just unbelievable. And have everybody sit in and we, you know, do some recording maybe in the evenings or something there. I'm finding that, you know, that the when the memories and everything people you talk to and everything are fresh.
Yeah.
You know, and then you a week goes by and it's like, oh man, you're trying to remember things and people and first thing right off the bat, I'm gonna apologize to everybody because I cannot remember names.
We're gonna do like Mike did.
Yeah.
We're gonna start writing them down. Every time we talk to somebody, find out what their name is,
where they're from.
Yep. Maybe even take a picture of it.
Yeah.
So
you know what?
Who's who.
And Mike was smart because he really was in his phone. You know, he was taking names and where they're from. Now, unfortunately, Mike is at, well, for him, it's probably a good thing. He's on vacation.
Yes.
So, man, for some reason.
And if any of you guys out there have a picture of yourself at Flight Fest, we talk to you. Email it to us and put your name on it so it can help us out in that area since we did a very poor job at that.
The other crazy thing was is with all our crazy schedules and everything going on, we couldn't get everybody in the studio at the same time. Mike's on vacation. You have kids camp coming up. Today, Andre's got this huge, ginormous wedding thing that's going on with his family. So what we're actually going to do is kind of like a two-part series. I got Wayne in here. I got him for one day. So we're going to go in and we're going to do some talking about it and be part one. And then I'm going to get Andre in here probably tomorrow afternoon. And we're going to kind of go get his thoughts and everything on part two. And then we'll just put it together. And I think it'll be pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, before we really get into everything, I just kind of want to put this out there on I want to get a little serious here a little bit, even though it's FT After Hours and we're usually a little comical, but I have to say a big thank you to all our listeners because it was very humbling for me and probably for you too, Wayne, to have all these people come up and thank us for doing the podcast and do what we do. And because I'll be honest here, there's been many times, and we've talked about it, it's tough for us to get together a lot of times and sit down. Now, when we're here and we're doing it, I love it. It's a lot of fun, and we really do enjoy it and like to keep it going, but it's sometimes I just think, you know, we'll do a podcast, and I get home, and I'm like, man, I should have done this better, I should have done that better, and, you know, do we have enough listeners to really listen to this janky little, you know, RC podcast with, you know, three regular guys and one crazy Canadian.
Crazy is definitely it.
So, but listening to everybody over the course of 4 days, you know, whether it be, I talked to a lot of truck drivers, you know, people had long commutes and they really thanked us for, you know, it makes their week or helps them out. Or if they got a bad day, they'll listen to us idiots, you know, talk about the crash stories or whatever. So it was very humbling, and I want to let you know we'll try to keep this thing going and make it a little bit better, and and I don't know, we'll see what happens. But as for right now, we're gonna keep going with it.
Yeah, that's the thing that always pulls me back into it is by meeting our fans, meeting the people out there who actually listen to this thing.
Yeah,
like you know, and a lot of the people that met me find out that this is not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
You know, I am very uncomfortable in this atmosphere. But you know what? You know, we have fun. I mean, and yeah. that is it. And it was funny when we were sitting there Thursday in the hangar in the rain.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody says, well, this is what your podcast feels like.
Uh-huh.
You know? And that makes sense. I mean, because part of one of the big things with us is I know that we fly and then we talk.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And that's what it is. I yeah. mean, a lot of the people are the same way. They love to fly and then they like to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then hear about what's new coming out and everything. So
sure.
It just keeps it real.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're all about, just keeping it real.
Right. And how about you? I mean, you got a lot of compliments of how you've kind of broken out of this shell a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That Where that's pretty, taken me, I have no
you know,
idea. Yeah.
That had to be a little encouraging,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
The other thing, too, why I'm kind of on the little serious note, you know, I think on our last podcast, too, I talked about a little bit. I've been in a rut. Busy, things going on. There's days where I should have been out flying and I didn't go. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, why didn't you go? What's wrong with you? Come on. So being at Flight Fest for 4 days, too, really helped me out.
Yes,
you
it
know,
did.
Being
yeah.
around this great
yep.
group of people, it brought the, I don't know what you want to call it, brought the energy back.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we just went out a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
And hung out and flew, and we just had a blast.
Oh, the weather was awesome.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for like the DLGs and stuff.
No.
It was not good weather for
right.
it. It was dead.
Right.
But it was fun just to get out and throw, just to fly, just
yeah.
to get out and chat, and just, it was our first nice
no
week
wind.
Night yeah,
yeah.
for flying
yep.
that we've had this summer.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And I thought, dude, really,
yeah.
this is mid-July, and this is the first time. It's like, that's not right.
Yeah. So I've, you know, I just got to thank everybody out there. It's, you really kind of turned things around for me, and we'll see what happens. All right, enough with the sappy, boring crap. Let's get out of there. Let's
yeah.
let's talk about Flight Fest and some of the things. So we got down there early Thursday morning. Now, the bad thing with really Thursday is the weather didn't cooperate. We had a lot of rain. There was a lot of mud, a lot of flying monkey running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
And talking about, I tell you what, if I want to, got to give it up for anybody, it's
yeah.
that guy. He's MVP of the year,
right.
no doubt about it.
Yeah. Fred, I know you don't listen to this anyway, but
yeah, he doesn't like us.
We got to give you some props, man. You had it tough, and there were a couple times I was harassing you a little bit, and I didn't realize how bad of a day you were actually having till later, talking to some other people. So, fantastic job, man. I mean, without you, I don't know what would have happened and how things would have really ran. So. Again, I apologize about harassing you a little bit. There was other times I just wanted to come up and give you a big hug.
No doubt.
But I think in the end, I think you enjoyed it, and I hope you'll be back. So really Thursday, we had to deal with some pretty nasty weather. And I know, Wayne, like over 4,500 pictures you took throughout
yeah.
the 4 days?
Yep.
That's going to take you a month to
yeah.
try to sort through that.
Yeah, and then I have 5 days of kids camp coming up starting tomorrow. So,
oh my gosh!
Boy, yeah,
so it'll be another 4,000 pictures.
Yeah.
So Thursday we had quite a bit of rain. Things got pretty ugly, but and the other thing was couple key points here. It was pretty windy Thursday.
Yeah.
And the other thing we found out when we showed up on Thursday that made things very difficult, and I think as the week went on, it got better and people were kind of figuring out, but where the main the flight line was, just on the other side of the runway, was a huge soybean field,
mm-hmm.
which in the previous year, it was just a cut, rough cut field. So if you had any crashes or whatever, no big deal. Well, now...
Oh.
With the soybean field, that made things very interesting.
And Thursday, with the wind coming from our backs,
yes.
the cornfield on the other side of the soybean field ended up catching a few, and that was worse yet.
Yeah, the cornfield was probably, what, seven feet high?
Yeah, 7-8 feet high.
So it was very entertaining, actually. And even Thursday, we did no flying.
Oh, no.
You know, I looked at you and go, there's no way, dude.
No.
I'm not busting anything out. Mm-hmm. I want to see what's going to happen and everything. But to see the, oh, man, you'd see probably sometimes 20, 30 people at a time out walking around in the soybean field looking for their planes.
Yep.
So it was entertaining for sure Thursday.
Well, it's like the pictures that I got of Andre going in and helping one guy find his plane.
Yeah.
You know, it was like that movie Field of Dreams.
Oh, yeah.
You see him just boop, disappeared in the corn. You couldn't see him, and all of a sudden you've seen this plane coming up from the top and then coming out of the corn.
Right, right.
Like a shark fin.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. So that, you know, kicked off a little bit with that and the rain, and but, you know, it didn't stop people from flying.
No, there people were still flying.
Yeah, tons of people out there, rain. And it was kind of funny. I remember Josh Bixler, he kind of made a comment. I don't remember if it was that day or a couple of days later, but, you know, he's like, I really hope these people do realize that these are paper foam airplanes and they're going to disintegrate, you know. Yeah. But it didn't matter. You know, it was out there. The other cool thing, several cool things, but even when we got there Thursday, that place was packed. It was like what it was last year on a Saturday. I mean, the camping was almost full on both sides.
Two
all the way
through. Huge build tents that were constantly very busy.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and it was even hard to just even get a spot in there and walk through.
Yeah.
You know,
but you know what? And that's the other thing I'd have to say is this is where it shows the quality of the flight test fans.
Mm-hmm.
Man, people jumping in everywhere, helping people they don't even know to help build. I mean, you know, you got Crafty Dan, which is, this guy's a genius anyways, and that's all you watch him helping. I mean, there's been many times I watch him just jumping in there, giving people a hand, but the fans would jump in there, and people don't even know each other. They don't care. It's we all have a common bond here.
Mm-hmm.
We all love to fly, and they're just awesome people.
Right.
And then you see them get in there and helping each other and getting them things built and fixed and out flying. It was great.
Right. The other cool thing for me, too, it might have been for you, since this being the second year, you kind of knew a little bit of what to expect and what was going to go on, because the first year we really had no clue.
Right.
And the first year also for me, a lot of the people that I met for the first time and sit down and we flew with them, chatted with them and everything, we're coming back for the second year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are people we only really see once a year and they're coming from all over the country. So to see the familiar faces, you know, like Asborn, Ryan Papp, Mike Finley, Joshua Orchard, which we'll talk about him and his build. You know, these guys, even Andre, I mean, we talk to Andre on a daily basis, but we never get to really see him. So to see all these guys, and I'm sorry if I missed some of the other people, but it was just great, you know, to sit down, talk with them, reminisce, you know. So that was exciting for me, you know, to see these people again. Let's see, what else was going on Thursday? It wasn't really a whole lot going on. The vendors were just slowly kind of coming in, setting up. Again, the weather was pretty bad Thursday. Now, we were actually going to camp, and there towards the end there Thursday, we looked at each other like, you know what, I don't know, is it really worth it? You know, there wasn't, so we ended up going home Thursday. But even like Thursday evening after it got dark, there was night flyers out there going on. I mean, it was just really crazy.
Yeah, by the time evening rolled around, and it did, it just kept sheets of rain, and everything was just totally soaked.
Right.
And I was done. I was just totally fried out. I knew I had a bunch of pictures I needed to dump, and and I was just not going to try to pitch a tent or anything.
No.
And it was like, you know.
No.
It was real sticky, so I thought, I'll go home. I'll sleep it off and come in the next morning.
Yeah, we were, I had mud up to my knees, you know, bare feet.
Yeah.
But you know, it was just crazy though. The spirits were good
for the most part.
Was a little difficult. What they did too is behind the actual Flight Fest area is the neighbors had this big field, and they were going to turn that into some camping and day parking. And unfortunately, there was a lot of people showing up Thursday that really wanted to come in and hang out. We had to kind of turn them away. Because you literally couldn't get in that place.
No.
It was that bad.
Yeah, once it started raining, if you just came in and parked and stayed, it wouldn't have been a problem.
Yeah.
But if you're going to drive in and then drive out, that's where the problem began.
Yeah. So Thursday, there was multiple vehicles stuck. Poor John Fury was running around with his tractor.
Yeah, but I tell you what, but then somebody came up with a bright idea about going out and getting some straw.
Yes.
And, dude, that helped a lot.
Right.
I mean, even the walkways and stuff, that really made a huge difference.
Yeah, it did. it helped out a lot. So poor John was, you know, pushing and pulling people with the tractor.
Yeah.
They were trying to find places to park. I heard they were actually going all the way down to one of the football fields or something downtown. Yeah. So we had, I don't know, maybe three or four golf carts. So there was somebody, you know, shuttling the whole time. So the other thing, too, the volunteers, man, those poor guys.
Yeah.
I have to give it up to them, too. They really did a fantastic job through the whole weekend. And they had it rough. I mean, again, with the weather and everything, sometimes people are a little heated. And I, you know, kind of understand that. And it was, you know, wasn't the best situations on Thursday.
No.
Luckily for Friday, things really turned around.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I was starting to wonder there because when I got up, it said the rain should end by 8 a.m. And here it is, 12:30 in the afternoon, still raining.
Yes.
It's like, come on.
Yeah.
But once it did break, it was good.
So really Thursday, with the rain and everything, it was okay. People had their stuff all set up. Everything was going pretty good. There were tons of people still flying, regardless of the wind. Now, I can't remember if anything really stuck out. Does anything really stick out Thursday? I was trying to think of something really...
Alex's little four-wheeler.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, well, that was the other cool thing is we actually got to... In a way, it was a good thing for us.
Yes.
With the rain and everything, we got to hang out with some really cool people in the hangar. And we just sat down, and it truly was just a bench flying session.
Do you, and I hate myself for not remembering his name, the farmer.
Yes.
Oh, man, that guy.
We met a fantastic guy from, I think it was
Arkansas or something?
North South Carolina? No, I can't even remember.
Not,
somewhere down, south.
Yeah.
Fantastic guy. He was a farmer.
Yes.
And not talking little farmer, we're talking
a big time.
Big farmer.
Yeah. To us, big time. To him, he said, oh, it's not that big. Yeah. Like, right.
Yeah. But this was a guy, if you've seen him out and about or whatever, you'd never think that he was an RC flyer.
Yeah.
But to sit down, and the funny thing was, we kind of hung around and talked to him all the whole weekend.
Yes,
But to sit down and meet him, you know, for the first time and really get to know him and see his passion, you know, for the sport. And he had lots of questions and fantastic guy. And again, I forget his name. And I think Mikey's got it in his phone.
He came up, talked to me Friday. Mm-hmm. We got chatting. And, you know, my background's electronics and computers, and then my dad has a hobby farm, so I was raised around farms.
Right.
And we got into some really good chats about, you know, like the GPS systems for the tractors and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, you know, if I ever got out of the computer business, I'd love to probably get in there and start working on those things. Just, it would be different but the same, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, he just listening to him talk, he was one of those very comfortable people to be around. He was a lot of fun.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite people that I met this year. So, and hopefully he listened to the podcast. And I told him,
well,
too,
he does.
I told him, too, you know, when he gets a chance, I'd send some pictures of the farm. I'd, you know, I'd love to see him. Myself, I grew up on the farm. And it was cool, too, as he was kind of realizing he was getting into the multi-copters and everything, that he can actually see where they could help the farmers see what they're doing. And, you know, he was talking about he's been doing a little flying around on the farm, and you could see the, you know, what the water's doing and the crop, you know. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, you plug in your coordinates, especially with these newer ones.
Mm-hmm.
You put in your coordinates, tell it to record, go.
Yeah.
And, you know. 10-15 minutes later, it's back and it's got all your footage for you. Man, that would be an awesome tool for farmers and them to use. I mean, there's a lot of people that could use that,
right?
But, you know, especially for somebody like that.
Yeah.
Instead of going trekking back air and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the hangar was really cool. The other thing about in the hangar was they started these build processes, and honestly, at that point, you really had besides the giant circle plane, we had no idea really what was going on.
Yeah.
And I think Peter was in and out of there, I mean, all weekend long, building something.
The only time he was out of there is when he was flying something.
Was and right there was usually a giant group of kids around him helping him, you know, do something.
Yep.
And the first thing I think he really was working on was that circle plane, and I mean, that thing was ginormous. Yeah.
And then when I seen that one with the 10 wings on it, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, how are you guys going to get this thing out of the garage? And that was a dance getting that out of there.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
I love watching. When you see Peter's brain and then you see it flying. Yeah. The things that come out of that guy. And it's just, you know, and I mean, you knew when you see it where he was thinking.
Right.
But man, that thing, it went. That was so fun. That was a blast. And then to watch the crowds, that's probably the best part, is people come around that stuff. I mean, you see these big projects people put together, and then when they fly, everybody's there to cheer you on.
Yeah. You know? And you always know, like, you can be clear at the other end of the flight line, and you'll see the crowd start to build, and you see the hooting and hollering, and you're like, what's going on, you know? And pretty soon you see this giant airplane rolling out. Yeah. There's 20 people carrying it, and the crowds are, you know,
putting it up on a big ATV.
Yeah.
You got to launch it from an ATV. Yeah. That's big.
So, that was crazy. And that's where I think, honestly, you know, trying to jog the memory on every little thing, you know, that we seen and did and everything, where if we could get the equipment down there, like in the evenings, and just record. Now, maybe even we could do a live thing too, and also record it and put it out later, but just talk about that day.
Right.
And people can come in, ask questions, talk about, you know, if they had a horrendous or crazy crash story, we could do everything right there and talk about it and get everybody involved. I think would just be phenomenal.
Right.
You know? So we'll work on that. I got it noted in my little notebook here for next year. We're going to see if we can do something like that.
Yep.
And I did camp out. I ended up spending Friday and Saturday night. And I'll tell you, that was worth it. I thoroughly... Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thoroughly enjoyed, you know, hanging out and camping out with everybody. And the other crazy thing was, is they had, and I don't know why they ended up doing this, but we were at the very far end of the one part of the flight line. I liked where it was at because the flying down there was kind of quiet and everything. Yeah. But man, the trek back and forth, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But it was cool. They had most all the volunteers right down there at the end. And we just hung out there with Andre and his friends, and those guys, Ryan Papp was next to us down there, and Joshua Orchard, and it was cool to just camp out, hang out down there, you know, in the evenings.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get one of those Fitbits or something for next year just to monitor, see how far I walk.
Yeah, did you see what Austin posted? Yeah. Was it over 15 miles, wasn't it, for the weekend?
I thought it was a lot more than that.
Oh, maybe it was 51 or something crazy.
Yeah, it was a crazy number.
Yeah, the number he had when he threw that up there for the entire weekend blew my mind. You know, I was like, are you? So that kind of made me wonder, I wonder how long I walk, you know, over the 4 days. Because it was just constant up and down and up and down. And then I know it was, what day did we have the boot? Friday. Mm-hmm. Oh, Friday evening. Yeah. So I finally gave in for Friday, and I knew it was going to be muddy and sticky and everything. I had to throw on the work boots, walked in them all day till I think it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon when we finally put on the tennis shoes. Things started to dry up a little bit, but oh my gosh, I was wore out. Completely wore out. So anyway, that was mostly Thursday. And again, it was cool just because we just got to hang out and talk with everybody because of the rain. So for me, I enjoyed it. That didn't really bother me too much. Yeah. So finally, Friday rolls around. We head back down early in the morning. And again, it was supposed to be all sunny and nice and everything. And on my way down, it was raining. And I'm going, what is going on here? Yeah. So we get there, show up. Now, the bad thing, too, is they... got checks here. Okay. They still couldn't get anybody in the park.
Right.
Friday morning. Yeah. It was literally just too wet. You couldn't get cars in.
They were parking down at the church. Yeah.
So they were parking at the church and I think the football field and around the surrounding roads. And so, but later on in the day, it worked out. They got everybody in. So, but Friday actually turned out to be a beautiful day. The sun finally came out. Excuse me. It's funny too, as much as I talked, I actually, Monday, my voice was pretty much shot. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even talk. And even today, a week later, it still comes and goes a little bit. So if you hear the little raspy voice, I apologize. So anyway, the sun finally come out. Tons and tons of people there. The vendors started coming in and setting up, which was really cool. We had everybody from Get FPV, Laser Toys. What was the name of that other place? World of Flight or something hobby. Bluestones was there. They had a great, huge display there. Mm-hmm. Them guys were fantastic running the FPV stuff, which we'll talk about in a minute. Gropner was there. Mark from Malte RC ended up showing up, and we'll talk about him in a little bit. And they had some really good food vendors there this year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, great, like Hamburger Steak Place and Mike's Buddy with the Ice Cream, Milk and Honey was fantastic. Yep. And then the I think they had them last year too. These little Amish girls show up with these
with homemade donuts.
Dude.
Yeah, those were good.
Those are the most unbelievable.
Oh, man.
If anybody was there and had them, you'll know what we're talking about. Oh, my
gosh. Yeah, right now everybody's going, oh, yeah, I remember those.
Yeah.
They were good.
And I couldn't resist. I had to have two, so I was, you know, I had one in each hand. So, Friday morning it was fantastic, and we got to stroll around, and we eventually actually got all the way to the other end of the flight line, and we just went down and started talking to people. Hey, where are you from? You know, have you been here before? And here was the other funny thing that blew my mind, and you probably agree.
Mm-hmm.
How many local people that we met on Friday from around the area that didn't, you know.
Within an hour or so.
Yeah. We met some great glider guys from Cleveland that are really into the gliders and DLGs that we had no idea. They're like, oh, you guys have got to come up. Just hang out with us. Fly with us. Take some, you know.
Which we got to do.
Yes.
We got to have some of those, and we'll record it, take pictures, and talk about it, of course.
Yeah. Which, that reminds me, and I might as well talk about it now. We've talked a little bit about, maybe since we've met a lot of these great guys and families, that are kind of local, is maybe, I don't know, maybe we could do one every other month or something, just meet up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say, hey, we're going to come here and fly if you guys want to come hang out.
That'd be a blast,
Whether, you know, we could do various spots. I wouldn't even mind if we had to go a little bit like into PA, because we met a lot of people from PA, a ton of people from like around in the New York State area.
2-hour drive is nothing, really.
No.
Load them up and go, we can have a blast. We can make it an all-day event and have a blast.
Yeah, so let us know what you guys think. If you're kind of around our area within a, 4 or 5 hour drive, you know, to get together and meet up, you know, I think it would be fun, to hang out. So, and again, I forget their names. I could just shoot myself right now. But we met two gentlemen that were actually lived, like, in the North Canton area.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing was, great guys too.
Oh yeah,
Fairly new flyers. And the funny thing was, is they know we fly at behind Jackson High School. Yeah. They said every now and then they go and they drive by just to see if we're
there.
So that was kind of funny.
Yep.
Trying to remember the other gentleman. Oh, the other cool thing too. Things just popping in my mind.
Yeah,
so if they pop up, if
sorry,
anything
guys.
Pops in your mind, just throw it out there.
Yeah.
I got to meet the gentleman. We talked about that. They had the awesome crash story with the tricopter at the movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
So we finally got to meet him. And
that's
to
what's
him.
Fun when you get to put faces with the stories now, and you get to talk to them straight up.
Yes.
Like, that was great.
Yeah. Let's see. I got to pull up his name real quick so I don't forget.
All right. While you're looking at that.
Yeah, go ahead.
One of my biggest things that, you know, for me, anybody that knows me, is I love seeing anything with families.
Yeah.
And seeing so many more kids and families, moms, dads. And I was amazed, too, is how many dads I seen with their daughters there. And it's cool because, and I got to go back from last year's pictures and pull it together. But the guy I just pulled up the picture of him and his girl with you and Andre. I got a picture of his daughter last year. There was two girls there in the backfield, and they were just throwing one of those Chuck planes around. So I got a picture of it. Well, now I never realized it, but to connect the dots, that's the same little girl. So this guy's out there with his daughter, and I thought, you know what? That is, to me, that's the awesome part of when you see the families bonding. It, like I said, you know, Josh always talks about, you know, you're creating memories. And to see that at Flight Fest, I mean, there's, you know, I've been to CEF and stuff, and it's, you don't see a lot of families there. But man, out here, you're seeing moms, dads, dads with little kids out there flying, a lot of buddy boxing. I mean, you're seeing even women are stepping out there and these guys. And, I got a picture of a gentleman showing a lady how to fly, and he had her buddy boxed, you know. And to me, that tickles me because that's it. It used to be just guys, but it's not. It's like, man, women can fly too. And a lot of times they don't because they don't think they can or they won't. But once they try it, they say, hey, this is fun. Well, what happened with Kim when you put the goggles on her and you're flying FPV?
Yeah.
You know, oh, this is cool, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right, right.
But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. And again, to see the groups and the families. And it's almost like a giant picnic. You know, with some people, or whatever, and just hanging out and having a good time. And I can't say this enough, but if anybody is a little on the fence about making the trip to Flight Fest, just do it.
Oh, yeah.
You honestly will not see anything like this anywhere in the RC community like it is at Flight Fest.
Oh, and we got to talk about this guy. Oh, people, you want to talk about making the trek. There's a gentleman there from China.
Yes.
The dude flew into Cleveland.
Yeah.
Grabbed the bus from Cleveland to Canton.
Yep.
And somehow got shuttled down to Malvern.
You Uber.
Oh, yeah. And then, boom. Right. He's standing there with suitcase in hand.
Yeah.
And nothing. No place to stay or anything. But next thing you know, he's got a staff t-shirt on. He's walking around taking pictures.
Yeah.
You talk about guts.
Yes.
To me, that was amazing. Right. But this guy, he had to be there. He came all the way out there.
Yeah. And I tried to talk to him a little bit. I wanted to kind of get the story. And, he was a young kid.
Yes.
Again, that was one thing that kind of blew my mind. Here's a young kid.
Yeah.
You know, and I was trying to put myself in his position. Yeah. Would I go to China? Yeah. No way. So, he just decided, you know what? I'm going.
Yeah.
Booked a ticket, got into Cleveland. Now, it was funny because he got into Cleveland and then was like, now what do I do?
He's figuring this thing out as he goes. Yes. Right, yeah.
So he finally figured he could get as close to Canton on a bus ticket, bought the bus ticket, traveled in, and who knows how long that took him to get all the way down
Can't
to Canton.
Imagine,
Finally gets into Canton. Now he's like, okay. And you got to wonder if he just had the address in his phone and that was it, you know?
Yep.
And says, how am I going to get down to Malvern from Canton? And then he finally figured out he got an Uber driver to take him that far.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, he just gets out of this car with a suitcase wheeling up the driveway. Hey, I'm at Flight Fest, you know. Yeah. And like you said, no hotel, no sleep, nothing. Yep. And Fred Flying Monkey was like, well, I got a hammock. You know, we can set up a hammock for you, which they did. They set up a hammock. That's where he slept, you know, for the 4 days. I'm really kind of interested, you know, how things are, you know, if, going back and everything and how he made out.
Yeah, it would have been nice to talk to him after.
Yeah.
So, okay, what's your take? What do you
think? Yeah, would you do it again?
He seemed like he had a good time.
Yeah. And I'm sure next year, you know, if something like he met enough people and everything next year that he'd be set up and there'd be places for him to stay. And
but you see how people pull together.
Oh,
and how, there's a need. Yeah, we can step in and fill that. Let's do it, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, Flying Monkey is like, dude, that guy's nonstop. He'll help anybody, you know. Just...
Right. And that brings me up to Baloo from Germany.
Oh,
And this is a guy I've talked with on Twitter for probably the last year, off and on.
And
you
this
know,
is
tweets.
His second year.
Yeah. Oh, it is his second year?
Yeah. Wasn't he here last year, I thought?
Could be. I can't remember, but I didn't think so, but you could be right. So I've conversed with him, didn't really recognized, didn't know what he looked like or anything, and he finally come up and he says, Chris, I'm Baloo. And I had to think for a second. I'm like, the crack, oh, Twitter. You know, to see him, and it was it, I'm trying to remember if it was his friend
brother?
Or brother,
I
believe,
brother.
You know, traveling all the way from Germany to come over here for 4 days and hang out. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I heard we had Germany, Norway, South Africa, guy from China, those the couple from Alaska,
we're back,
Texas, all over the United States.
I thought there was one or two people, I thought they said somewhere from South America. I could be wrong on that. Yep. But that was crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I know what I was going to do. I wanted to share this one quick little story. Hang on, I just had it. This gentleman, David Harbold, I've talked to him several times, I think maybe through Twitter and also email, you know, back and forth and everything. And he sent me a email. I think it was Wednesday. Horizon was having a big sale, you know, and he goes, hey, Chris, just wanted to let you know, they had the FPV Vapor. It was on sale for like $60.
$60,
which, funny thing was, I already ordered one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was, I can't remember if it was Friday or Saturday morning. It was probably 6:30 in the morning. I'm walking down the flight line. Beautiful morning. Fog's rolling across the field. You know, I'm just admiring everything, having some Fedora Coffee Works coffee. And a guy was walking up the flight line. He just happened to have the old EPP FPV plane all set up, you know, for he was going for an FPV flight. And I stopped and I go, oh man, look at that. I haven't seen one of those forever. You know, I mean, we talked about flight tests and how, you know, we had a couple of them when we beat the daylights out of them, and they're such a great, yeah, you know, FPV airplane. We talked and chit chatted for a little while and we went about our way. So after David and I were emailing a little bit Wednesday, he sent me another one. He goes, by the way, did you talk to a gentleman early, like Saturday morning, walking down the flight line with an EPP FPV? And I'm like, well, yeah, I did. He goes, I didn't even know it was you. He goes, we were just sitting here chatting, you know, and it was just crazy that after the fact and realized that, you know, we were chatting it up and didn't even realize who was who.
Yep. And it was funny because, like, when we were standing there watching demonstration or something, we were just chatting, and the guy in front of us just spun around that quick and looked at us just for a second and said, Chris,
oh,
Wayne,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, yeah, know? Yeah. Or we had the one guy, and it just makes me laugh. We were standing there chit-chatting, and he pulled his phone out. Remember that? He pulled his phone. He goes, looked at us, looked at his phone. He goes, it's the after-hours crew. And he goes, I thought my podcast was going off on my phone. He goes, I couldn't figure it out. You guys are over there chit-chatting.
Yeah.
So, and God love Mike.
Everybody knows who
Mike would talk or laugh. You know, we were pulling people from 50 feet away after they heard Mike laugh, you know. Oh, that was a good time. So yeah, Friday was a fantastic day. Went through the day into the night. There was all kinds of night flying going on Friday night. I'm trying to think if anything else was sticking out in my head for Friday. When did they do that? I think they did most of the demos on Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even at night, like Friday night, I think we went up, well, both Friday and Saturday night, went up to the campfire. But, you know, about 9:30, 10 o'clock, John would put on a great big campfire, get it going, and we had chairs around. So a big group of people would just sit up there and hang out. It was funny too, and I almost wish I had like a little handheld recorder.
Oh yeah,
you know, and just
turn
it on.
Yes,
because it was everything from what went on through the day or what they built, crash stories of their like RC career. You know, what I did here, what was going on. But so the bench flying going around,
around
the fire, just and most of the time I didn't say two words. I just sat there,
just,
you know, and just listened to what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was the kids, a lot of it, you know, even the kids that were talking about group builds or what they were going to do or what they were going to fly and the crashing. And so it was rather entertaining just at the campfire at night.
And that's something you've seen a lot of, too, is a lot of kids building. I'm talking, these guys are not very old, and they're in there just cutting up foam and making their planes and stuff. And it's like, man, I love seeing that. We need to see more of that.
Yeah.
But this one on that, when that thing flew on Friday.
Oh, yes. We got to talk a little bit about Peter's giant cargo plane.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then, of course, then they launched that little quad out the back of it.
Yeah.
Well, and then he tried to land back inside of it.
Yeah.
And he embedded one of his props inside the plane, so.
If you haven't seen or whatever, at least check out the videos. That giant cargo plane of Peter's, really, you could seriously put a small child in it and fly it around. It's
amazing.
That big.
Yeah.
And with the giant cargo door on the back.
Yeah.
You know, they get this thing up, and they got this thing cranking around, and pretty soon we've seen the hatch come out. Of course, they don't. You don't know what's going on, and you never know what's going to happen with Peter for what he was going to drop on the back. So, yeah, this quad comes scooting out the back and takes off and starts flying around. Well, then pretty soon they're like, you know what? Let's go back inside that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So as Peter's cruising around, here's this little 250 quad desperately trying to get back in, and he almost
made it.
And I think they hit the back once, crashed, and then they decide to go up and try it again.
Yeah.
So they had multiple attempts, make a little note here, and they never did get it in, but it was close. So when they actually got down, the propeller, wasn't there a propeller actually
stuck? Yeah, that's what that picture
was.
It broke it off and it was embedded in.
Yeah, so that was crazy.
Yeah, so he was almost in. I mean, it was right on the door.
Right. And then I think they went back up later, and did they drop parachute guys or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a whole bunch of parachute guys. And
that thing flew so cool, though. I mean, that thing was awesome.
That was awesome. And then when he had the lights on that thing, cruising that thing around at night, it is just an unbelievable spectacle to see that plane go.
Yep.
So the other thing I wanted to talk about on Friday started out was the combat. The combat they had going on there for...
Yeah.
The couple days was, again, unbelievable. Yeah. And I was trying to think how many planes they probably had going on in the combat.
Yeah, each one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm showing some of the pictures of people at work and stuff, people that don't fly RC. Right. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. You mean people intentionally fly their airplanes in here knowing that they're going to be destroyed? They go, yep.
Yeah.
No problem. Right. They can go in, destroy them, and either go build it again or repair it, and they're back out for the next one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the one was fantastic because it boiled down to these two. I know one was a wing, and I can't remember what the other one was. But they circled around for a little while, and then they said, you know what, let's go head-to-head.
Yeah.
So they made several passes trying to go to head to head, and finally they collided. Yeah. I mean, right in the main flight line, they come barreling down, full throttle each other, and I mean, just boom.
Yeah. They unfortunately hit. For me, I was trying to take pictures of this while they're going to do that. And
yeah.
It's down at the other end.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, oh, come on.
Yeah. They hit hard.
Yeah.
And then we got to talk about might have been even Saturday because they had combat both days. This little Hobby Zone champ.
Yeah.
First of all, I couldn't believe they even put a champ in the combat. Yeah. But, you know, what the heck.
Just taunt everybody.
The funny thing was, every now and then he had to land, throw a battery back in, and go back up. But this little champ was getting blown around, tossed around from wake turbulence of all these other big planes. And he just cruised around. So both combats on Saturday, I think he won, correct?
Mm-hmm. I think he outlasted.
Outlasted. Yeah. But I guess the reality is you don't realize how hard it is to try to hit, you know, a little tiny champ just cruising around. I mean, he'd go up high and cruise around. He was down. I mean, he was all over the place. And these people, they weren't trying to take it easy on him. That one wing that was going after him that was probably doing 60 miles an hour was doing everything he could to just completely disintegrate this champ out of the sky.
Yeah, but then he got him by playing around at the top of the soybeans. So that wing, I think he came down too low. And I think he got ate up by the soybeans.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think he taunted him down just a little.
Yeah. Because Fred was on the microphone. Lower. Yeah. You know, come on, lower.
Yeah. And it's amazing, too, because you'll see you can have two airplanes up there and they'll run into each other. But yet you can have 40, 50 of them just buzzing around and nobody's hitting each other.
Yeah.
It's like, how does that happen?
I know. Yeah, that was crazy.
This demonstration, I think, was on Friday.
Oh, yes. Good point. We had the first big demonstration, and again, I had his name right on the tip of my tongue. A gentleman comes out, and he's got a big, I don't even know what it is, 200%, I don't know, aerobatic twin-engine gas airplane.
Andrew,
I think that might be
his
name.
Yeah, the only reason I blew up this picture, and I can see pilot, and I can just see the first name.
Yeah, Andrew, you're right. This is unbelievable, the demonstration this guy puts on.
Oh, yeah.
It is really something to see.
Oh, there we go.
The control he had with that thing and the things he was doing, whether it was hovering, it had the smoke system on it, the speed of that airplane doing knife edge down the flight line. Oh, my gosh.
Is that Andrew Rochelle?
Could be.
Looks like an R. But yeah,
oh,
that thing was beautiful.
Oh, and he did one both days too. I mean, put on a show. Unbelievable. So,
I know there's just so much going on in your brain. And
yeah,
all of a
I know
it just stops.
Trying to think. We had great combat flying, talking to people. Friday evening we finally got to go down and do a little flying.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it probably wasn't until about 5 o'clock, really, right? We finally got down there and we started pulling out. So our big goal, too, here at Flight Fest, as you guys know, listen to the podcast, we were trying to get as many glider pilots, you know, as we could. And we had actually a ton of Radians.
Several people came up and said, I bought a Radian because I listened to you guys.
Right,
you
know? Right.
Yeah, and it was great. And then they, like with Andre, and, you know, after last year flying, you know, Andre's like, yeah, okay, and then he flew it.
Yeah.
Now he owns one.
Right.
And he said, if I was only allowed to own one plane,
right,
it would be the Radian.
Yeah. And I have to apologize a little bit. It was a little disorganized. We were trying to get a lot of people together and get more people in the air. You know, we kept saying, we're going to have a group fly here in the late afternoon. So, again, in my little notebook, I'm going to put down maybe we can have an FT after hours glider fly at this time, and we're just going to do it and get everybody together.
That'd be fun.
Because we had a lot of requests. Hey, are we going? You know, where are you going to fly? What time? And we didn't have it at set time or anything. So, but yeah, I guess it was about 5 o'clock Friday. We finally got around to it, and we had, I don't know, 6-8 gliders in the air. I don't know, somewhere around there. Yeah. 99% of them were Radians.
Yep.
We had a couple other gliders up there with
which
us.
Made it unnerving because you had the gray sky, and it didn't matter how you had your wing marked up.
Right.
Once it was up in the air, they're all black.
Yes.
So you didn't take your eyes off your plane.
That was probably the second most intense fly I've ever had with the Radian. You were right. I mean, when you got up there, and even though everybody had different stripes
it
and everything
matter.
On their wings, with that overcast sky, when it got up there, you had no clue. Like, you know, I have the variometer and the altimeter. And there was a couple times I just wanted to look down for a second, just get a rough guess of where we were. I mean, I was starting to. Not that I wasn't shaking, but I was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was, and so I think we flew, Andre said, for a good 45 minutes. Yeah. You know, we were cruising around looking for, there wasn't much going on.
No.
I mean, we were picking up little stuff, but here was the cool thing was you get that many Radians up and we're all cruising around. One guy would be like, hey, we got lift over here. Yeah. I got a bubble. I got a, there's 7-8 Radians going around and we look like a giant group
bunch
of buzzards.
I
mean, we're circling up, you know, and I'm listening to the variometer and pretty soon, well, that one's gone. Then we're all spread out again and we're cruising around and, hey, wait, bubble over here, bubble over here. Here come all the Radians again. So, I mean, it really was a good time. But after we finally come down, after about 45 minutes, and we were just sitting around talking, Andre's like, I'm exhausted.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know what? I kind of am, too. Yeah. It's just exhausting doing that much concentration of actual flying and, you know, and plus the day, you know, the whole day, you know, we were done.
Mm-hmm.
We were all like, well, do you want to put another battery? And we're like, no. We just want to kind of sit down, relax, digress a little bit, talk about, you know, the day. And but what we ended up doing is that we also not only had, we have a bunch of Radians, is there was a ton of Whippets showed up there. So Michael Finley kind of came up with the idea.
He's good.
Yeah,
he's got his throw down.
Oh, dude. Two things. It was, what's his name? Was it Seth, I believe, which is Ryan's son. He had a throw, too, that was unbelievable. So we started doing all up, last one down. And Friday, I was doing okay. I could hang a little bit, but, you know, I'd win some. Then Michael would win some. Ryan would win some. So, you know, it was good competition. Now, we had a lot of crashes with the Whippet because we were all within 20 feet together. We're all trying to throw these things in the air, and boom, half the time we just smash into each other. A couple times mine, for some reason, a little signal issue.
Mm-hmm.
I crashed into the ground. I had to do a few repairs. I know Ryan had to do some repairs. I think we all had to do some repairs. So, but yeah, that was the first time we had a group of people there, and I think it kind of intrigued you. You got to watch it.
Yeah.
So, what did you think of that?
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. It's a lot more fun when you have multiple people there and you start making a game of it.
Yeah,
you know, when you start that, you know, everybody up and last one down.
Yeah,
just start making games of it. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, that definitely adds a lot of fun. But anytime you can fly together, you know, you get a bunch of guys together and have fun.
Yeah.
With it. Yeah.
Yep. And we quickly kind of found out is all of us had our Whippets pretty dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were flying good. So it really boiled down to the throw.
Yeah.
Like
the
if you were that person that got the extra, even sometimes it came down to a foot.
Yeah.
If you got that little extra foot just.
Without the drop.
Yeah.
Because
without
sometimes
the drop.
You can get a great throw.
Yeah.
And then you lose several feet because it has that big drop at the end.
You're trying to stretch it out, just get that little extra foot, and then boom, it stalls out, and then you drop three. Yeah, you're exactly right. So it really boiled down to who had the best throw. And dang it, between Seth and Michael Finley, those guys.
Yeah. Michael didn't have any. Every time I watched him throw it, there was no drop. It was like he'd throw it, and it just flattened out, and he's soaring. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say he was on it.
Oh, yeah, he
Saturday.
Was.
Oh, my gosh, Saturday he was
That's
on
right.
It.
We'll have a rematch next year.
Yeah, you just wait, Michael. I'm going to just start doing my
we're modifications. We're coming after you, buddy.
Yeah, you better keep practicing. We're after you now, man.
Oh, I'm sure he's shaking in his boots.
Oh, yeah. So that was fantastic. We really had a good time. And then, again, we just hung out probably till late evening and got to walk up and down the flight line and see some of the night flyers. I don't think any night flyers really stuck out, but there were some pretty cool things. Oh, before I forget, I think you went down and talked to Kevin Tishner. He had a wing. And I think he said you came down because I told him he had the digital programmable lights he was showing me. I said, you need to talk to Wing because he's really into that. And
his was a regular analog lights, but he's still using Arduino board to run it. Yes.
Okay, you're right. Yes. Yeah, now that I remember.
Right.
But they looked fantastic.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And he didn't even know about your tricopter. So I was pulling up the video showing your tricopter, and he was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that. Yeah. So he had probably, I'd say, one of the best-looking wings out there as far as the light schemes and everything.
Yeah. I love those wings, too. That's one thing I'm just amazed I haven't gotten yet is I would love to get one of those built. That's my problem is there's too many things I'd love to get built and get. But
You know, and that's the other thing. Andre ran into the same problem. And I see what you do. You think, well, maybe I'm going to fly this. Maybe I could fly this. And like he said, he had the room. So why not at least put it in there?
Yeah.
And I probably had, I don't know, 6 or 7 planes that I took down. But really, I didn't, I flew the, actually, I don't even think I had the Ultra Micro Radiant out 4 times with a battery in it ready to go and never actually got it in the air because I was either helping somebody else or doing other things. But I flew the Radiant and the Whippet. And, well, I mean, I had the Elf out a little bit. I did finally get the Rock Hobby, the big glider.
Yes.
I had one flight on that. Yep. But in all honesty, if you bring 2 or 3 or just your favorite airplanes, that's really all you're probably going to fly.
Yeah, but we're quite busy throughout the day.
True.
Walking and talking.
Yeah.
I mean, like we laughed, you know, it took us 2 hours to get from
Up
the center all the way back down. We started walking that way, and 2 hours later, finally made it down there. So.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's all good. I mean, actually, it's a blast. I
have no complaints.
Oh,
But every year we keep saying, you know what, we're going to fly more. We're going to fly more. And it just, I think that's where next year notes taken.
Yeah.
We set up a couple, you know, FT after hour flies, you know, with the Radians, maybe do a Whippet competition, stuff like that. Then, you know, we have an excuse.
Yeah.
Hey, we're meeting here. Come on down, hang out. We're going to fly. And then afterwards, we're just going to bench fly for a while.
Oh, back to the Radians.
Yes.
And the reason, you know, some of you guys will wonder, like, well, why is it stressful flying? Well, there's two things. One, normally when we fly the Radians, there's only a couple of us, and we're catching thermals, which once you catch a thermal, you can turn your brain off and let it fly itself. Mm-hmm. Piece of cake. But that night when we were flying, one, there were no thermals. There were little bumps, which means you had to work.
Two,
there was a lot of them up there, so you couldn't blink. Because you'd always get, hey, look over here. And it's like, everybody's like, I ain't looking nowhere.
Yeah, and I think maybe as Andre had that one photo, and all it is us lined up.
Yeah.
With us just, you could see the concentration like on our faces. There was some serious concentration going on.
Yeah,
there.
Nobody's blinking. Everybody's got tears running on their face because nobody wants to blink.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Oh, it was great.
So what a great time.
But the Radian normally is a very stress-free flight. It's just fun to get out there.
Right.
Unless you have several of them in the air and you're looking for a bump.
Yeah. And that's why I keep saying, and we just kind of, I ran out of time and wasn't well prepared, but, you know, if I was up there, FPV up there cruising around, it would be no problem. But, yeah, I finally got the Rock Hobby glider that I actually did the maiden.
What did you think of that?
So far, so good. I got to do a few little tweaks. I want to put a little bit of mixing in it, but it was very like solid.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It felt just very locked, very in. You know, surprisingly,
looks good.
Yeah, surprisingly, it glided better, actually better than I expected because it does when you pick it up and look at it and feel it. It feels kind of big and heavy and everything, but I was very happy with it. I'm excited to get it out. Like even maybe today, if we get out later on, maybe I'll bring it and
you know, that'd be fun.
Yeah, get that thing going. The other story I want to tell real quick, and actually this might have been on Saturday. I can't remember the days are all kind of
they all
together.
Mushed together. Yeah.
Another gentleman come down. Listens to the podcast. I think we signed his hat. He was the guy with the yellow hat.
Oh, yeah, the yellow hat, yeah.
So he brings down this giant glider. I think it was a Phoenix glider, Phoenix 2000 or something. And he's like, Chris, I really want you to maiden my glider. I want to get it up, get it trimmed out. I hate when... Yeah, I had the kid with the beaver too, you know.
Yes.
So anyway, he brings the glider down. We go all through it. We check it all out, realize that the one aileron was sticking horribly because he had to fix it. He had to glue it back on. So we cut some glue out. We got it working. Everything looked good. Checked all our crap. And said, all right, we're golden. So we chuck it up. I get going. It's flying beautiful. Cruising around, trimming it out and everything. And he's all excited. Everything's going good. And I noticed it got a little wonky. And I at first, you know, because there were some people having some signal problems. It's very noisy
down there.
Yeah. And there happens to be one spot on the field over by the oil well where people were having all kinds of problems.
My Radian nosedived a couple of times when I was down there. Yep.
So there is some stuff going on down there. So I was like, you know what? Something doesn't seem right. I'm going to bring it in. So we brought it in and found out here the control rod completely came out of the control horn.
Yes.
So I was actually only flying on one aileron, and we got the thing down and in, and I was so happy that I did not crash this poor guy's glider. So we got it all fixed up, and he did the maiden flight on it and got to go cruise around. Nice. It was so exciting to see that, you know, look on. He's like, oh, man, this is fantastic, you know, got it up. And it was a little rough coming in on landing. He had a few issues, but we got it in. No damage.
Yep.
So that was cool to see. That was exciting. And we had the younger kid, I can't remember his name either, had the beaver. Just got it, I believe.
Oh, it starts with T. Toby or
maybe it was Toby.
Yeah.
So anyway, he says, Chris,
scratch
I want you to
built beaver.
Yeah,
that was fun.
I want you to fly my and I'm like, no way, dude. My last beaver experience with Kevin Harris last year after I augured in his beaver, no.
I'll sign it, but I don't want to make it.
No, no, I'm not doing that again. Forget it. Just forget it. So that
especially when it's scratch built. I mean, because this kid, he put some work in. Man, that thing looked cool.
It
did. Was great.
That was
it flew great.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
We were watching him,
And, of course, I got to put a plug out there. I was just so tickled. You guys know that I just take a million pictures while I'm out there. But I got a picture that it was really cool to me, and I threw it up on Instagram, and it's a dad and a son flying box. And then when they landed, I got a picture, and if you look real close at it, the little boy is grinning big time. And I thought it was really cool, and I was really excited. So I got a picture of him and his dad in his airplane. Well, and then later, when I threw it up on Instagram, I guess it looked like the father must have replied that the reason he was grinning so much was that was his first landing unassisted. Even though it was buddy box, but his dad didn't have to help him land it. And to think, I was there and I got that picture right when this kid, and then explained why he was grinning.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I tell you what, that means more to me than anything. When I'm getting,
right.
I love getting these pictures of those moments.
Yeah.
And that was great. Yeah. I loved it.
And that's the one thing I really like. And obviously once you get through more and you get sorted through and see what we want, we'll post more.
Oh, yeah.
That is the one thing about our Instagram that I like is even the few that we've put up already, people were like, hey, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is what happened afterwards or blah, blah, blah. So you not only do you get to see the picture, but you get to know a little bit in depth of what was going on or what happened or you know. That, I think, is pretty cool.
Yes, that's the best.
So look forward to that. I'm definitely get through your pictures and see some more stuff for sure. The other thing, you're talking about the kids. There was a little kid, and he was there all weekend long, that we kept catching him behind the build tents, in between the vendors and the food.
He was the coolest-looking little dude.
How old do you think he was? Four?
Five.
Four,
yeah,
five,
yeah,
maybe?
Around, yeah.
Five, maybe, at the most.
Yeah.
This kid... He looked the part. Like, if you just seen him...
He was all attitude.
Yeah. And...
Actually, I posted a picture.
It's fantastic. He was flying everything from the little micro helicopters.
Yeah.
I think he had a glider at one point. And he had this cool, like, custom-made radio harness that somebody made.
Right.
And it kind of strapped up around his shoulders, and the radio set on it so he didn't have to hold it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, a controller probably for a little kid like that. And he had these, like, mirrored shades on.
Yeah.
And just to watch him fly, he would just look around like, you know what? Look at me. You see what I'm doing over here? Yeah.
Was impressed.
Yeah, I was too. And at one point, I don't know if you actually got the picture, but he's seen you with the camera.
I didn't get the one where you gave me the thumbs up.
And this kid literally kind of, you know, as he was flying, looked over his shoulder at Wayne with them shades and everything and just gave him the thumbs up like, I'm cool, you know?
Yeah, I missed that shot.
Right, yeah. Oh, it was great to watch him.
And watching, there's this, one kid was out there flying around doing 3D, and he's like 6 years old, and he's like, okay, I'm gonna go home, sell all my RC stuff. It's like, okay, I'm done. But then again, this is a natural. I tell you what, little kids, the younger you can get them started, they got the hand-eye coordination. Look at them with games, and then you apply them into something like this. It's like, watch them go, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was like the Peterbilt with that big 10-wing plane. Mm-hmm, you know, Peter's got all these kids in there, and they're all giving a hand, and they're all building. And the cool part with that is these guys are building outside the box. There's no instructions.
Yeah.
This is, you figure it out on the go.
Right.
And this just shows the genius of Peter anyways, because that's what he does.
Yeah.
The guy thinks outside the box. And these kids are learning that. You don't have to open up an instruction book. Okay, put part A, glue it to part B, and trim away part C. No. Let's just do this. And they start building.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. I like seeing that. And that's so educational. But you put something like that together with these kids, and they go. Man, their brains get working. They can figure things out. That, you know, slamming into the ground. Do you like it? No, but they can figure out, hey, I built it. I can go back and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And then to watch them fly it. And they don't just fly it. These guys can master this stuff, which is really cool.
Yeah, there was two little kids there that were flying 3D.
Yeah.
You know, with the EPP foamies. Whoa.
Yeah.
And that brings me up to my next thing I wanted to talk about was Andre seeing those kids. And he's like, man, I like those planes. I like what they do. And I said, well, I got one at the house. I'll grab it and bring it back. So brought my little 3D hobby shop EPP plane back. And it's funny. Again, it's one of those things that I used to fly it a lot, and it went on the back burner. Actually, it hangs up deep in the dark depth of my little hobby shop. And it's one of those things you kind of forget about.
Yeah.
So I grabbed it, blew the dust off of it, you know, before I brought and charged up some batteries and said, and I think you flew it too, didn't you?
No.
Oh, you didn't fly it? Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you did.
Nope.
So
that will be one of my next planes.
Yeah, so that's fine. Charged up the batteries, and you know, and I've been on that bandwagon for a long time telling people, you know, the easiest way to get over the hump of learning different maneuvers, see how your plane acts, what it does when you do different, you know, sticks, and you know, that's the best way to do it. You get a small little EPP plane, and you go out and you bang the sticks around, you beat it to death. You can't hurt them. If you do, you throw some glue on it right there, and you keep on going.
Yep.
And I think Andre was starting to see that a little bit. So I said, here's some batteries. Here's a plane. Just go have fun.
Oh, yeah.
And he did.
Oh, boy.
He went out there, ran, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 batteries through that thing and just played around with it and seen what it did and realized finally, wow, you know, I'm learning things. I see what it's doing. And he loved it.
And he can do it in his backyard.
And you could, he could do it in his backyard.
Yep.
So we got, it's funny. We were talking afterwards. He says, I had this whole big plan, and we'll talk to Andre tomorrow and probably get more in-depth of it, I'm sure. But he had this whole big plan of what he wanted to do coming up and the planes he wanted to get and everything. And now he was telling me after he got home, the whole plan is thrown out the window. He says, I might as well just take it, chuck it out the window, and start over because hanging out with you guys changed everything.
Yeah, bad influence.
Yeah, bad influence. So... yeah, he's on the lookout.
No, you don't chuck it all away. You just kind of shift it over to the side a little bit.
Right, right.
Insert here.
yeah. So he's on the lookout for a small EPP plane, which is, well, I think you are now too, huh?
Yep.
And I haven't flown that plane in probably 2 years. And I actually, when we went flying out the other night, I pulled it back out and flew it that night and just forgot. I completely forgot how much fun, you know, that plane really is and what I learned off of that plane and how it took me to the next level, learning the stuff that I do with the regular planes, you know, all that stuff I learned on that airplane.
And here you were flying it, damaged aileron, went back, slapped some glue, and boom, you're back in
the
air again.
Yeah, right back on. And I told you when we were flying the other day, like I was trying to learn, you know, 2 years ago, I was trying to learn knife edge circles inside and outside. And that used to be my worst thing. I had such a... Wayne, I picked up that plane and just instantly, I don't know how, started doing you know, the knife edge circles, inside, outside circles, like yep. it was nothing.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to walk away from it, and then something happens when you come back, and your brain just kind of, oh, yeah, and yeah. then just do it.
Right, right. So, yeah, that was a good time. The other thing, too, before I forget, this stuff is just surfacing. Like, it's just
it
so
will
random.
For the next couple of months, yeah.
They had another group build there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
this year was the one-to-one French Cree-Cree, twin-engine Cree-Cree. And the cool thing about that, it was completely unassisted. I mean, Peter might have gave him a few little ideas, but basically it was yeah. just a giant group build.
Yep.
You know, put your minds together. Now, that thing was unbelievable. It was actually, I think from what they said, was actually bigger than one-to-one.
Really?
Yeah. And they got it done Sunday morning. We seen it out, got to check it, and mm-hmm. When I looked at it, looking at the size of it and looking at the motors and everything, I honestly didn't think it was gonna fly. I thought it was gonna be underpowered. Yeah. Just looking at it. I had no idea, but looking at yeah. everything, and I thought, man, I don't know. And they got it out Sunday morning, and yep. it actually, for the first few seconds, it yeah. took off.
It did.
It had no
and
problems.
It was climbing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't know if they had an elevator problem. Looked like
something
an elevator
broke.
Problem. Yes. Yeah, something broke, because it just started climbing, and then boom, it just nosedived. Yeah. Motor's still going. Everything looked good.
Yeah.
But it got off the ground, so yeah. it really was a success, yeah. you know, the 4 days of hard work that those guys and kids put into that thing. It was cool mm-hmm. to see, you know, in the size of it. So we'll have to definitely post some pictures of that,
oh, yeah.
you know, so people can yep. grasp it.
Yeah.
But I think I read somewhere, maybe even been on Facebook, that later on they tried it again.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. They got it up, and it looked good, and it nosedived.
Hmm.
So
I wonder what's up with that. I wonder if it's losing speed then. I wonder if maybe the ATV, by that launch, it has enough speed, but maybe it is underpowered where it can't keep up its momentum.
That could be.
And it stalls out and drops.
That's a very good possibility. Real good possibility.
Wonder.
But still, this
that
was crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
Unbelievable. Trying to think what else. Oh, I know what we could talk about. Several things, but one thing real quick. A gentleman had a solo there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still intrigued by the solo. So he was very kind to let us really check it out. He even was going to let me fly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'll watch you, buddy.
That's right.
I don't, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll have to say it was a good product.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll tell you right off the bat, there were a few. Now, there were a lot of DJ. Well, I shouldn't say a lot, but I did see a couple, maybe two or three DJI Inspires. I seen quite a few Phantoms there flying around. Actually, a couple Blades, 350 QXs there flying around. And I didn't talk to those people, but we seen them flying numerous times throughout the day.
Right.
Didn't look like they were having any problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the gentleman with the solo, and he told us straight up, he was very honest, and we seen it happen in person. He was having some radio issues with it. Sometimes he would get out even probably 50 feet. It would come right on the screen and say lost radio signal. Now, again, he had no problems. That thing did what it was advertised. Mm-hmm. It lost radio signal, came right back,
returned to home,
land, no problem. And he did fly it throughout the weekend, even though he was having some glitches with it here and there. Again, it's a new product. I hear they're working on different firmware, and there are a few little bugs with it. That could be one of them.
Right.
But what he did show us were some of the features of it, and you know how it flew and everything. I will say it was very intriguing how that thing flew. I was impressed with it to see it in person. You know, with the orbit, the camera, what do you call that? The slider cam thing option, the self, everything that he showed us and how it flew, it was cool. I enjoyed that thing. So I have to say thank you. You know, I wanted to see one in person finally and see how it flew, and it was. But again, he did have a few issues with the radio problem, and again, it was very noisy there.
Oh boy!
And I think I told you even before then that even if I ended up getting the Phantom 3, that I didn't think I was going to take it down there, because that was one of my big concerns being in a noisy environment like that.
Yeah.
If it, you know, weren't going to run into some radio problems, and it seemed to. I would say if you weren't running, you know, some kind of like Futabis, well, I would say a good radio system. You know, obviously, yes, we were flying on DSMX. we didn't have any problems. Anything that I was running on, I know Andre's buddy, I can't remember which one it was, had a Radian crash, and I think he had a glitch. And he was running one of those real cheap DSM-2 receivers.
Right, yeah.
And I think it might have even been over around the oil well. He's the one who crashed the Radian.
Okay.
Went down, and we actually watched the video of it. And the thing was flying good, and the next thing we know, it went into kind of like this death spiral power on. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, and augered it into the ground. So he ended up going out and buying one of those 11 receivers, yes. 8-channel receivers with the satellite remote and everything, and yep. ended up putting that in it. I don't think he had any problems after that. So, yeah, there definitely was some radio issues going on down there. If you didn't have a good receiver and a good radio, you know, some frequency hopping or something of that nature.
Good. I'm looking forward to trying that lemon that I just got.
Yeah.
Eight-channel. It's got the PPM, so that'll work with my NASA 32 board.
Right,
so
right.
Excited about getting that hooked up and trying it out and see how it works.
Yeah, that's a good
price.
I heard
it works pretty good.
Yeah, Crafty Dan said was... Mm-hmm. So that was pretty much Saturday. I'm trying to think if there was anything else on Saturday. Yeah, you know, I almost need to keep a notebook as we're going along.
No doubt, yeah.
You know, write this stuff down, write the names. That's the only way to go.
Yeah, and any of you guys that, you know, if you talked to us and gave us your names and stuff, shoot us an email with a picture and your name. And that would be greatly appreciated because it is. It's a shame that we can't remember, but there's so many people that we meet, and I don't remember names anyway.
No, I'm terrible. Yeah. You could tell me your name, and after you walk away, I'd be like,
I repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, all these tricks, and for some reason, it's like, okay. Now, it seems like it's good if I met you the second time.
Yes.
Like, you know, like with Fred and them.
Absolutely.
A lot of these guys, you met them for the second time.
Yeah, if you come hang out with us a little bit and fly with us and hang out, for sure. Like I said, a lot of the guys that we hung out with our first year, that we hung out with and chatted with and flew with and everything, they were back the second year. Yeah, I had no problem. Or if I crash your airplane like Kevin Harris, I'll probably never forget your name.
Yeah, there's a trauma it kind of buries it even deeper.
Right. So, yes, the Air Bears. I should have wrote that down. Scott Zimmerman from Air Bears. We're actually going to get him on the podcast and talk about his organization, nonprofit organization, and his website and everything. But we'll just briefly talk a little bit about it. His organization is unbelievable, where they're getting people together from around the country. You're getting put on a list. And eventually, if you're willing to help out and volunteer with your services, with your copter, you know, your... whatever, if you got a quadcopter or a camera platform or anything of that nature to help out the local fire departments, police departments, anything, you know, if they have a problem where they're looking for somebody or any kind of a need for an aerial platform where you can assist them, his organization is putting a list together. And eventually, you know, once they get this big list together, they're going to go around to the fire departments, the police departments, and everything, and have it, you know, talk about them. And so far, it has just been overwhelming, response.
Which is great.
Yeah,
which is
fantastic.
I love seeing that because he's a really cool guy. I like what he's doing.
Yep. So we were going to do a whole podcast on that, so I'm not going to get into great details of that. But if anybody's watching news here, might have been probably close to a month ago now, there's a gentleman in Texas, had the Inspire, that saved 4 people. He did everything from take a life jacket to him to spot some people stranded. So I guess that was all done through their Air Bears. Mm-hmm. He's on the list, and he's a go-to guy down there in Texas. So for us on the other end, it's very positive of the good things that this is bringing to the hobby.
Get away from the stupid stuff, and let's get back to you know, this is the positive. You can use anything that's good for bad.
Yeah.
Because there will be people out there that will figure it out. But for the most part, you know, the people that do this, you know, they got the right heart and they want to do the right things. And
they
can do great things.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you just want to go check it out, since we've been talking about it, I believe it's airbears.org. Maybe you can look at that picture real quick and make sure I'm right.
Yep.
But I do know from Facebook after Flight Fest, poor guy really got overwhelmed. which is good. Good for him. So we're going to get him on the podcast probably next week and get all the information and let him talk about the Air Bears.
I want to find out more about that, what he took, the bat bones. And
Yeah.
So I forget what they call it, a dragonfly configuration, where it's got five props on. The thing is great.
So that leads me into next little quick segment that, again, we're going to have this gentleman on the podcast. And we're going to go. Mark Lehman is the owner, operator of Malte RC. Now, I've been talking to Mark probably the last 6 months. And here's a guy who's just got into the hobby, I think he said, like a year ago. And he's very passionate about it. And what he's trying to do is get people involved in the hobby. He's right up Flight Test Alley. The guy's not looking to make, you know, a killing. He's just very passionate and wants to get in. And again, we're going to have him on a podcast and we're going to talk about his company, and let him explain what he's doing and everything. But what I just wanted to mention was, you know, as we've talked about before, there are 9 million quadcopter frames out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, anything from 250, 350, whatever you want, you can find it. But the hard part is, what do I buy? Here's one for $100. Here's one for $50. Here's one for $15 at Hobby King. How do you really know, like, what to get? It's tough.
Yep.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I see some of the ones here around Flight Test, and they're pretty high end, like the blackouts and stuff, and I know they're very durable, and they hold up, and they fly great, but part of me is like, I don't know if I want to spend that kind of money to go out and beat it in the ground, you know? So Mark's come up with this fantastic idea to try to build an indestructible 250 size quadcopter that, say, anybody that wants to try to learn and get into the hobby that, again, doesn't, you know, want to spend a lot of money, for one. Two, doesn't have to worry about crashing it and fixing it 900 times, because that's very discouraging.
Oh, you know, it is.
You're all excited. You build this thing up. You take it out and you fly it. Boom, you crash it. Okay, you fix it. Boom, you crash it again. Okay. After about the fourth, fifth time, you're like, eh, maybe this isn't for me. And you kind of get discouraged with it. So Mark's very set on trying to find or building a pretty much indestructible quadcopter.
Yep.
And again, we're going to have him on the podcast, and we'll kind of get into the details of what it's made and the process he went through and everything. And we're going to try to expose Malte RC a little bit and get him exposure, because I really think he's on to something here. Yeah. I really do. So I finally got to meet Mark. He brought me a kit of one of his indestructible quad kits, and I got to really check it out and everything. Now, really just looking at it, it doesn't look like anything really too out of the ordinary. You're like, okay, looks pretty good.
Looks standard. Yeah.
Looks well built. Yep. So he says, take it out and fly it. Beat it on, you know. I'm like, yeah, dude, I don't know, you know. He goes, I'm telling you, and he did. He sent me the videos, numerous videos of this little thing just slamming into the ground, slamming into a pallet. So he was telling me that a guy emailed in. He goes, well, you know, I don't know if this thing's really indestructible. The pallet was moving, and blah, you know, kind of gave him excuses. So Mark says, okay, challenge accepted. So they built one and started slamming it into a brick wall. And I mean repeatedly, not just like
a couple
hits. They
went through a whole battery on this thing.
Yeah. And after a whole battery, it did have some small damage. It started to bend a few of the screws and everything, but the thing still flew, which was really impressive. So Mark says, I'll tell you what, let's go find Mikey Bixler.
Oh, Mikey, yes.
So he said, if Mikey can't destroy it, I think we got something pretty special. So actually, you know, I found Mike.
Yeah.
And I said, Mike, I got this gentleman over here who's got a quadcopter that says it's unbreakable. Of course, you know, Mike, he looked at me and grinned. He goes, no way. There, you know, nothing's indestructible. So he gave the controller to Mike and he said, have at it, you know, break it.
Yeah.
So Mike got hold of it right away. It was, and then right off the bat, we're doing flips and rolls and cranking around. And
he'd shoot this thing 40, 50 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And then chop the throttle and let it bounce. And the only reason it didn't take right back off is because it was upside down. He went over, flipped it over. He looked at it, and you should have seen the grin on his face. He looked at this thing. He goes, it didn't even break the props. Next thing you know, boom, back up in the air he went. And you couldn't wipe the grin off that kid's face.
No.
He was just trashing that thing. He'd take it up, fly it into the soy field, bouncing it all over the place, go over, flip it back over, up it. Kept on going.
Yeah.
Even put him up in the demolition, up in the combat.
In the combat, yeah. They put that little quad up in the combat, and he took numerous hits.
Yeah.
And finally got where it got like hit enough to where it put him down in the ground, but didn't break anything.
Yeah.
You know, he could have, you know, could have went back
it,
up.
It bent the prop. It didn't break it.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff, you just straighten it back out and it's back up in the air again.
Right, right.
Which is really good, especially for a beginner, because when you have that comfort that this thing isn't that easily broken. I mean, it's not totally indestructible.
Sure.
Of course, nothing is.
Sure.
But it can take a beating.
Yeah.
And then you have a more of a comfort. Hey, I'm not afraid to put this thing to the moon. I'm not afraid of it. You're not afraid to crash.
Yeah.
So what? You just pick it up. If it doesn't land right side up, just flip it over and go again.
Yeah. So Mike was, just thrilled.
He loved it.
I just can't believe that.
Yeah.
So Mark was kind enough that he was so impressed with Mikey and his flying abilities and everything, gave Mike a kit.
Yep.
So it'd be exciting. I would imagine, you know, if they get it here at Flight Test and it's as durable as what I'm seeing, that they're going to do something with it or a review on it, because it truly is
fun,
crazy. Yeah. So, which brings me up to my next little point was, finally, and I haven't flown it up to this point, I had another friend of mine show up to Flight Fest, and we were walking around, and he would like to build a quad or whatever and just start doing, which is our buddy Brian.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I took him over to Mark and showed him everything, and for basically under $200, your quad can be ready to go and pretty much indestructible. So I was telling him about it, and Mark says, Chris, just take it out and show him. Because there are a lot of people out there that claim, this frame's the best, and blah, blah, blah. But until you actually go out, and I was kind of the same way with Mark. I'm like, sure, it's probably really good. I'm not saying that it isn't, but I'm thinking, after a few hits, this thing's going to break, and you're in the same boat. So I said, all right, fine, I'll take it out, and I'll play it. So I took it out to the flight line and proceeded to bash this thing to, like, no end. I mean, I was up, rolling, inverted, slamming it upside down, right side up, into the side. And Mark had that thing dialed good. And my thing was, too, is what I thought was going to happen is I'm going to repeatedly bash this thing into the ground to where I'm not saying that it's not going to work, but it's probably not going to fly very well, okay? So, and I forget the name of the props that he's selling now, but they're a very bendable flexi prop that actually can kind of bend, and you can bend it back. Now, they're probably not the most efficient,
right,
you know, or the best prop out there, but for what you're getting and be able to crash and still fly, well worth it.
Yeah.
Well worth it. So I hit the ground so hard one time, this thing probably bounced maybe 5 feet in the air. That's how hard I hit. And it wouldn't take off. And I was like, aha! I finally, you know, I found something. So we walked over and picked it up, and what happened was I hit so hard that the prop folded around and actually went back in and stuck into the motor. I'm like, I'm done. Nope.
Yeah.
Picked it up, took the prop, flipped it back out. It sprung back out, you know, looked at it, set it down on the ground, took back off. And Brian, my buddy, was like, that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He goes, I might seriously have to look into that.
Yeah, now if somebody wants to go and take it and keep slamming it, I mean intentionally try to
destroy
it. Well, then that's what you're going to get. Okay, fine. But for the real people who just want to, I want something that can take a beating, this thing is awesome.
Yeah.
It is great. Yeah.
And I just have to give it up for Mark.
Oh, shoot,
I mean, here's a guy, he just, it's hard to explain until we probably actually talk to him, but the guy just, you know, recently quit his job. He's going all in with this because he really thinks that he can help the community and help people, you know, get into an affordable, durable multi-copter option.
Yeah.
And I think he's right there with it. He's
and
on
even
the
if the arm's on it bent a little bit, he'd straighten it right back out.
Yeah.
And you're right back up in the air again.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So
it's a great investment. I mean, just get out there and fly.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about spending top dollar on something and breaking it.
Nope.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And especially, you know, people too want to get into FPV stuff. I mean, you know, where you're running into things and you don't know what's going on. Fantastic. Fantastic. So we'll have Mark on here very soon, next podcast or two, and we'll talk about the, and I forget it was called the HMB2 something is the name of that. I can't remember. 235 or 230, something like that. But again, we'll have Mark on and we'll talk about it. So, but if you get a chance, go to his website. It's multirc.com. You can check out the stuff. He sells everything for it. Motors, ESCs, control boards, NASA, BECs, everything for it. You can get everything through his shop. So that was pretty much Saturday. Again, well, I know you didn't spend the night, but I stayed the night again Saturday night, and again we went back up to the campfire and sat down and hung out, and again just sitting listening to everybody, you know, around the campfire. It was like a fly on the wall, you know, listening to the stories and everything. It was really good. So Sunday rolls around. We woke up Sunday again, just beautiful morning, nice and cool. The sun was out. The dew was on the ground. We had a heavy dew, and we woke up and said, you know what, let's get some flying in. Little did we know later on, we had more rain coming in.
Oh, yes.
And they expected the rain was going to move in like right around noon. So they were actually going around telling everybody, hey, if you could, let's try to get out of here. Because if you were still in, things were still kind of wet and soggy and everything. And if everybody was still there and we got that torrential rain, you weren't going.
It wouldn't take much more rain to turn it back into a mud pit again. So,
So we actually got up early and pulled the planes out, and we're doing a little flying Sunday, which was great, because we really, besides that, you know, Saturday evening, just as a group and as a whole, you know, really didn't just get together and, you know, do the flying. So Andre broke out the EFX racer, which Mike was still completely intrigued at. The Fun Cub finally came out, and I have a Fun Cub. I've had a Fun Cub.
Which is
still in the box, because my original one, my buddy folded the wings on it, and I right away went out and got it. And again, it's one of those things where it kind of out of sight, out of mind, and Andre's like, hey, you want to take it for a flight? Sure, man. And I forgot how fun the Fun Cub really is, and that thing is so much fun, and it's very versatile plane. You can go up, you can fly it super slow. You know, it's got the 90-degree flaps. It'll do light 3D, hover. I mean, so Andre seen that. I was really playing around with it, and he's like, I didn't even realize that plane could really do that. I'm like, oh, man, this is one of the most versatile planes I've ever had was this plane here. Yeah. And so you finally showed up. I go, Wayne, you got to fly this thing. Yeah. So you took
you dropped the flaps on that thing. Oh, yeah. Man, you can bounce that thing right off the ground and into the air.
Yeah.
And even landing, you can almost come to a straight stop and set her down. But, yeah,
it is.
Yeah. It is very – you can just do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
And it flies really good.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, we had a great morning. And that reminds me of the Fun Cub. There was a couple gentlemen there that had the Carbon Z Cub.
Mm-hmm.
It would break those things out and put on actually a pretty good show with them.
Yeah.
I got to write something down or I'll forget. they were, again, that's probably one of the most versatile planes I've ever bought.
Yeah.
And they were just...
And they look great.
Oh, look fantastic. Oh, and that was one of the few planes on Thursday when we had all that wind and weather and everything was actually, those guys were out there flying all day long with those things.
Doesn't
and
care.
It didn't phase those things. No. You know, with the AS3X and, you know, we had 15, 20 mile an hour gusts. And it was pretty gnarly Thursday.
Yep.
And things looked like they were on rails.
Yep.
And they were, you know, fast flying, loops, rolls, knife edge. The one guy was doing some pretty good hovering. He was doing all kinds of stuff with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd come down, drop the flaps, and pretty much go backwards with it.
You know,
So you can't beat that Carbon Z Cub.
Nah.
Then there was a couple guys, and I got one of these two, and I don't fly it too much because the thing just makes me so nervous to fly. But there was two multiplex, I can't remember the name of them. They're the, it's on the tip of my tongue, and I even own one. All right, I'll come back to it. We'll look that up. But that reminds me of the guys that had the Superman and the Spider-Man built, you know, if you've ever seen some of the videos of some of these guys are building like the profile people flyers, you know, look like people flying in the air. And one guy did a Superman that was, it was fantastic. It actually even had the cape on the back.
Yes.
So that thing would actually get up and cruise around. Had the cape flying, and of course the elevons were his feet. So you know when he was, you could see his feet move.
Yeah, that was funny.
I mean, really from a distance, those things looked fantastic in the air.
Was it the Funjet Ultra?
Yes, that's it. Yeah, there was a couple guys there that had the Fun Jet Ultra.
Oh, yeah.
Super hopped up.
Yep.
And those guys would start getting that thing cranked around, and everybody screaming. Would just almost just shut down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because those guys were cruising about 130 miles an hour.
They'll
you
cut
know,
your that. Plane in yeah. half.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And which we did see.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple we planes are totally, I mean, absolutely cut in half.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. There was some gnarly crashes there throughout the week.
Yeah.
There really was. Now, I don't remember hearing of anything really extravagant like last year when the helicopter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
for that one we had awesome footage on, too, though.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah. And that might be a segment, too, we could do is, you know, after we get through some of these crash stories, is have people send in their crash stories from Flight Fest.
Yeah.
Because I just heard, I got some emails, just a few of some of the crash stories that, you know, they sent in that I didn't know about or didn't see or whatever. So, mm-hmm. And they were rather interesting. I had one big glider guy emailed and said his wings folded up at 200 feet. And so I know there's some, got to be, we had one 250 size quad that we had to fly away.
Yeah, and, that guy I felt so bad for.
And then we heard, and we don't know the story behind it. We don't know if it was that guy's quad or if it was another flyaway. Or what happened is they found him a 250 mm-hmm. size quad way down the road on Route 43.
Yeah.
So we don't know if they left it on the car, if it was actually that flyaway.
Right.
So there's got to be some really cool, interesting stories that I think what we'll do is have them send in. Maybe even
and
now
people would
listening.
Find stuff when they're walking around.
Oh
the
yeah,
field they found.
Yeah.
And they'd bring
planes,
it back to Lawson
parts,
yep.
Yeah. That reminds me, there was a story, guy lost, or maybe it was a kid, lost his 250 quad, and I think it was out there for a couple days, and they found it a couple days later, and the guy had it sitting on the table, and he walked by, and he goes, "Hey, that looks like my quad," and the guy's like, "Well, where did you lose it?" And he goes, "Well, it was over here in this part of the bean field," and he goes, "Well, then that's yours."
Yep.
You know, and he got it back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was anything from crazy scratch builds, you know, 200% Spitfires to Peter's builds to the Ultra Fun Jets that were doing 130 miles an hour that would really pretty much shut down the flight line.
Yeah,
I mean, you name it in electric.
Yeah,
it was pretty much there.
Yep.
You know, great times.
Oh yeah, we can go on and on.
Yeah,
and on and on.
You know,
and we'll remember stuff as
yeah. And I'm sure, you know, we'll talk to Andre tomorrow, and he'll bring up stuff that I forget and everything.
Yeah, guys, and send us email, too. Send us pictures and stories, what you got.
Yeah.
Send us your names.
Yes. Yeah, please.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to walk out of here on the way home going, oh, my gosh, I forgot about this, and I forgot about that. And nature of the beast, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And like you said, if we get people to send us in some stories and stuff or talk to us or whatever, you know, we can talk about it. Other than that
farmer that we met out there too, so
please.
And also, guys, my email is wayne@flighttest.com, so drop us a note, let us know.
Absolutely,
send us pictures, your names, stories, and it was awesome meeting everybody.
Oh,
that was that's the best part.
Very
that is just
very
so
humbling.
Much fun. Oh yeah,
unbelievable. Yeah. I like I said, I never would have thought that this little janky podcast would
but we have fun though.
Yeah.
You know what, we have a blast with these. It's just it is. Like I said, I'm looking forward to getting together with some of these people and getting out and doing an after-hours flying, you know, where you just go out and meet some people and just fly.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
So
if you guys are in the area within a couple hours of Canton, Ohio, you know, shoot us an email, locations, and maybe we can pull something off and come out and we'll hook up and have us some fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And other than that, this is part one. I'll probably be back in here tomorrow for part two. So
You're in here tomorrow, I'll be on my way to kids camp.
And so, I think Tuesday, just give you a heads up what's going on. We'll get in here with maybe Mike and Andre and get these crash stories out of the way. Try to get a little bonus podcast out there for you. And then, like I said, we got Mark Lehman coming up from Multi RC, Mr. Zimmerman coming up from the Air Bears. And so we got a lot of stuff coming up that we're going to try to get out there for you. So other than that, we're going to get out of here, and maybe we're going to go enjoy a little
flying. That's right.
So thanks for joining us. We appreciate everybody listening.
Absolutely.
If you have any questions, comments, or anything, shoot me an email at chris@flighttest.com or wayne@flighttest.com. Also on Twitter at FT After Hours. And again, give us a follow on Instagram at FT After Hours. I think here very soon, Wayne's sort through the pictures.
We'll start overloading you.
Yeah,
guys,
you guys will be like, okay, enough. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. The stuff he's got is just unbelievable. So I'm excited to share this stuff with you. And again, like we talked, to hear some of the stories behind some of these pictures after we post them. So, all right, guys, thank you very much. We will talk to you soon and enjoy your day.
See
We're
you
out
guys.
Of here. Welcome, everyone. Another episode of FT After Hours. We are we're a mess. we're a complete mess.
We got the air condition off, so we're going to be sweating here in a minute.
We just moved in the Bixler's office. We're trying to find a spot for the podcast studio. We had wires, everything. We couldn't get the board to work. We decided to try to do a live Periscope, which I don't know what this is going to be like. It could be a complete disaster. If you guys want to hang out, that's great.
I don't know how long the duct tape's going to hold us.
Yeah, the duct tape up there. But welcome, everyone. This is actually part two. We're having a little difficulty getting everybody together after Flight Fest.
They need a way to hear Andre.
Well, I'm here. Can everybody hear me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
You should be able to. He's running through the board.
But it's through that then, too?
Through here, yeah.
Okay, Periscope.
Okay.
Not expensive podcasting equipment.
All right. Now we can finally go. We got some audio going. We didn't even know if it was going to work anyway. So thanks for joining us. We got a few people watching us anyway. All right. Now, where were we? Part two of we're going to sit down. I had Wayne in here Saturday because Wayne had to go to kids camp and you were on vacation. Andre had a wedding going on. So this is kind of like a two-part
hatch together.
Yeah, hatch together. I'm going to do is just so everybody knows, if you you guys might have already listened to part one. So Wayne and I we kind of broke it down day by day and just went through, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and up into Sunday. But what I'm going to let you guys do is kind of, since we kind of already talked about it, I'll join in with you guys. I want to get your perspective of Flight Fest through the 4 days you were there. All right, so you guys can talk along. I'll join in because this is all you guys now.
Okay.
All right, so we can start off, you know, let me think. Thursday, you actually rolled in Wednesday night, right, Andre?
Yeah, I did, and that was and Wednesday was a bad on my part because I thought the whole thing started like last year, went Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and didn't even realize that no, the event was hot on Thursday. So I very quickly changed my plans and actually had to dump my Canadian convoy, but they all the guys made it down on their own just fine. So I showed up on Wednesday and stepped into it hot right away and started working with Fred and Austin and everybody getting, and Alex, everybody just getting the whole place set up and laying down stakes and running around doing all the taping and everything. So kind of hit the ground running.
And let's see. So Thursday we got a little. Oh, it's actually working. So Thursday we got a little bit of rain, I believe, didn't we?
Just a little bit of rain.
Oh man, right, just a little. It was like down in sheets, I think.
I was so happy that I brought a set of boots with me, but yeah, that made the whole place rather interesting. And I mean, the volunteers, and I have to start off, and I should really preface this right away. Huge shout out to Flying Monkey, Fred. Fred worked his himself to the bone on this one, and so did all the normal flight test, Alex and Austin, the guys, and all the volunteers who just went above the call of duty to make this work. Because, I mean, Friday was pretty wet and soggy after Thursday's rainfall, and we made so many changes on the run and so many different changes to get to keep the show running, kind of thing, you know, moving all the campers and moving all the day guests and shuttling in between. It was just a phenomenal sight to see everybody start banding together and making that happen.
Yeah, it was, you know, Thursday, Friday were, you know, a little rough with the weather. You know, we talked about it earlier, there's a lot of mud, people getting stuck. I know we had to, turn some people away a little bit, especially late Thursday and even Friday morning with parking. And there was a lot of overflow parking down at the church and at the football field, I understood, and everything. But what was your, when you arrived there and actually, you know, since you were there the first year and you came back, what was your overall perspective, you know, coming back for the second time?
Bigger and better. I mean, it was, what was really exciting for me, and it was just knowing the fact that, you know, the four of us were going to get together for the first time in a year. I mean, last year was kind of, you know, we were just new friends, right? I mean, last year, you and I had just started conversing just before. And, I mean, look what we've accomplished in a year kind of thing, right? So, I mean, the excitement for me just going in and, you know, days before, I'm, like, throwing all my planes in the car going, I know I'm not going to fly, like, half of these. And, you know, it was just so awesome to finally get this, you know, to shake hands with everybody again for the first time, you know, again in a year. I mean, we've talked so much throughout the year, but to sit down one-on-one, face-to-face for the first time in a while, you know? So, that, for me, that the highlight for flight was like our flying on Friday for me. That was Flight Fest for me.
Right. So what do you think, Mike?
I know it was really muddy when I first showed up on Thursday evening. Trying to remember. I remember I think the first guy I approached, let's see. One of the guys I met was, Andy Ross, mm-hmm. And I think it might have been Thursday night. I could be off on my days, but he approached me, and he's a farmer from Morristown, Tennessee, and he said, I have some gas for you, because he listened to my story, and I got to laughing so hard because he knew I was in the market for gas after the Visionaire.
Oh, yeah.
The tree grab. I had to do the tree to cut it out of the tree and stuff. So I actually talked to him quite a bit. It was interesting to hear where he was from and mm-hmm. just meeting people. I enjoyed that the most out of the Flight Fest was meeting everyone. So,
all right. Well, it looks like
they're still having problems here. And audio. Unfortunately, so they told us to put headphones up by the phone numerous times, but that's kind of a weird way.
Yeah, we'll work on that. I'll probably just go up there and we'll just shut it down. It was just a little test anyway to see if it would work.
Before you shut it down, I'm going to say hi to Mike Finley because I think he was following, and I had a blast. I had a blast. He was teasing me about ice cream and stuff. He left me fly his Whippet, and I really appreciated that.
It's weird. Some people say they can hear it okay.
Well, they can hear you two guys, but they can't hear me.
They can't hear Andre, and they said that's why they were telling us to put the headphones up, but that's a weird.
That doesn't make any sense when we're all run through. Well, okay. All right. Yeah, we'll just shut her down. Oh, no, somebody said leave it, and we don't need no stinking Andre.
That's Adam again. You know what, Chris? Leave it on. Let it rock.
They don't like the one-sided conversations, though.
Yeah, fix it, though. Just tell them we'll fix it, Mike.
We'll fix it? I don't think we're going to. I think he shut it off.
That's
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we'll just shut it down for now, but I'll work on that and see what the deal
Sorry,
was.
Sorry, guys, on that one.
It was just a test anyway, but if we get it working, I think it would be kind of
it
fun.
It would be
that,
cool.
You know,
because you could. I mean, we could keep the conversation going a lot easier, sure.
All right, back to Flight Fest.
All right.
So Thursday rolls around, and that's the thing Wayne and I talked about, and you guys probably feel the same way. Even though with all the rain and everything, it was like to where you just got to hang out and meet people and hang out, like sitting in the hangar.
I showed up late on Thursday, so I didn't have a lot of input Thursday. Yeah. I worked a full day, and I worked 6 to 3, so I showed up in the evening after the rain kind of hit. So,
but just to hang out, you know, because there wasn't a lot of flying going on,
sure,
so people just got to hang out and, you know, talk with everyone, meet new people, and like you said, you know, we were sitting in the hangar and we met Andy and. You know, and a lot of familiar faces that were there.
I took some notes on people I met. I don't know exactly what days and stuff, but it was very, very, I never had anyone ask for my autograph, and I thank you so much, the few people that did. I was completely honored in doing that, and thanks so much.
Before you do that, Andre,
my
wife
kind of laughed about it.
Did she?
Yeah.
It was a complete different experience for you this time, wasn't it?
It's to someone come up and go, we were standing there, right, having that conversation, and the guy walks up and grabs his phone. He's like, it's just like watching and listening to a podcast on my iPhone, man. Wow. You know, and it was,
it was kind of cool. I appreciate
it
too.
It was flattering because it's like,
definitely.
We're just a bunch of normal guys who are hanging out,
just
to,
telling
you know,
stories
have an opportunity to chat together and talk about our passion and everything, and to have people come up and say thanks, you know, like that, I forget the gentleman's name, but the trucker who basically said, you know, yeah, you guys fill up my days for me. It's awesome to listen to you talk away. And the running joke there when on the forum was, I said, no one should have to listen to our voices for extended periods of time.
Yeah, this is very true. Very true.
And then one guy, I have his name, he was Steve from Akron. He said he had to pull over from laughing at my story. Oh, yes. Sorry, he had tears in his eyes. And I just started busting up right on the spot. It was just so good to hear that feedback and hear people actually enjoying our stories and stuff. So that was great. Yeah. And I took I was trying to take notes on people because I'm so bad with names. I remember faces and stuff like that, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take some notes on some of these people I'm talking to and give them a little shout out on the After Hours podcast.
Next year, I want to take so much. Everybody I meet, I want to take a photo with them and do exactly that.
Yes,
grab their,
yes.
And I got home.
They like to hear it and be able to be part of it as well, which we found out too.
This is it. And I got home and my Instagram account, it just had exploded.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. So I was posting and I was just sitting there popping away photos and everything.
I saw all your pictures. I was watching it right away. I wanted that instant feedback, right now because they're still working on recaps and stuff. And I just I wanted to see it right then and there, relive it right now. Yeah. And you did a good job on Instagram, I must say.
Right.
Not to cut you off.
And then there were some really awesome photos that it would just show up with us in there. That one of us, the three of us, because I think you weren't there yet, Mike.
Sure.
But the three of us walking down the flight line, and there's someone just snaps a photo saying, hey, just met the After Hour guys. So that
That's
was
cool.
Really cool. And yeah, for me, that made Flight Fest really special, just that interaction. And it was kind of like, okay, yeah, it's finally officially part of the group. And I even Josh Pixler even pulled me aside and said he was really happy that I was finally able to fully participate with the podcast and everything.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because I ran into him right away and it was like, hey, it's really awesome, And so to me, that's special. I mean, because, it's just it's my way of contributing, as I've said before. So, yeah. And
oh,
then,
sweet.
And one guy, I signed his T-shirt. He was very enthusiastic. His name was Paul from New York. I wanted to give him
Paul
a shout
Jennings,
out.
I bet it is.
And as a younger kid.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Very enthusiastic. He's like, can you sign my shirt? And I didn't have a pen right away. I'm like, man, I'd love to. That's great. I said, I'm definitely going to catch you. And I caught him later during a combat, I think it was. And then we grabbed a pen and I signed his shirt. Very enthusiastic. Loved everything about Flight Test. A true fan from what I could tell.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Paul's a good kid. Matter of fact, he had a... I think it was a beaver he wanted me to fly, and I was a little hesitant there for a little while, but yeah.
And then there was a Chris from Columbus, had a mini scout. I don't remember the details on that one, but I just built a mini scout. I think that's what I said to him. I said, I just finished building one. And then just sharing some things, there was a Chad from Springfield, Ohio, had a pristine yellow and black wing. I think that's the guy that lifted the hatch and showed us the electronics.
Oh, yeah,
underneath.
Okay.
His name was Chad from Springfield, Ohio. And then there was a Mark from Medina, Ohio, I talked to. He was a bow hunter, had two daughters, I believe, that bow hunted, too. I want to give him a shout-out. Hopefully he listens and follows. I kind of connected with the hunters. There was another guy that hunted. I think it was Big Ben from Chicago, Illinois. And I was hoping to talk to him more, actually. I got cut off with a phone call right about then. But I really wanted to talk to him more about hunting and different things. I know they had a tent down near where we were set up along the road there. And then there, Adam from the Toledo show, which he did a heli demo, which was phenomenal.
That's right. I forgot to talk about that.
He did an inverted heli demo, and he actually did cut the blades of grass on his first attempt. Then the second attempt, when Wayne was taking pictures, he didn't get quite. I mean, it was still impressively low. Don't mind. But he didn't cut the blades. But I'm sure Wayne got some good footage of that. And just a few more names.
That's Adam from RC Logger.
I didn't know he was that talented.
And I didn't know he flew helis.
Oh, my gosh. Because I talked to him quite a bit at the Toledo show with Chad. And I didn't know he had those abilities. I was like,
I didn't either.
Wow. Yeah. And he said he really wanted to push limits, but there was too much air traffic.
Yeah.
So I think he could do a lot more than what he was even showing us, which is quite impressive.
And, I'm going to throw this out here because I'm not sure we talked about that either. But kind of the bad thing about the flight line a little bit is if you really kind of wanted to fly helis, the actual flight line was clear way down at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And another guy who's pretty good at flying helis that I got to meet this year finally for the first time was, I believe it's Steve Yun, Y-U-N. Hopefully I said that correctly.
Was that the one we watched?
Yes.
That,
Yeah, you and Wayne went down.
Watched it. Okay, yes.
Wayne went down, got some fantastic pictures down there, which hopefully we're going to post those as soon as he gets through them. But, yeah, Steve was down there flying. He's a good friend of Kevin Tishner. So they were down there at the end of the flight line.
I think he mentioned maybe doing a podcast, or we thought maybe we could do a podcast with him at one point or another. So.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember his name. I'm glad you remembered.
Yeah.
I did thank him for that demo that he did.
Yeah,
for
he did a good job. And, you know, that's the thing. There isn't too many helis.
He kept
really.
It over the cornfield quite a bit, too, on the other side of that other road on the other end.
Yeah.
But that was cool to watch, to say the least. He was doing like the TikTok maneuvers and different things.
Yep.
And then I met Brian Rydzewski, which sent you an email about that Dilbert email, which I did receive. I wanted to let you know. I talked to him for a while. He was carrying around a little dog in his satchel.
Oh,
we
sat
talked to him during a night fly that one night. I talked to him quite a bit. You guys were off to the side. And then there was a Seth, and I think his buddy was possibly his name was Nick. I'm not sure on that one, but they were from South Carolina, and they were the ones that had the super fast Bloody Wonders.
And
I thought they had like a reinforced spar or something that was all foam. He showed it to me. I'm like, how are those things
really?
Traveling
just basically
that fast?
Stock, huh? Except for a big motor.
Well, I mean, those things were cruising. There was two of them flying. And I think they even used them in the combat session, too. I'm not 100% on that. But that was impressive. That caught my attention. They just went whipping by. I'm like, wow, those are cool. And then there was Thomas Ballou from Germany.
Yes.
And then Mike Finley teasing me about ice cream and let me fly his Whippet.
That's right,
He left me, he threw it up, and then I glided it down. But I did end up beating everyone in that little competition.
Did you
on
beat
that
me,
turn.
Too?
In that little
Dang
competition.
Dang it. I was getting my
first time out, too.
Man.
And then a couple more shout outs. I don't remember the exact stories, but I did talk to him. It was Mark from Milwaukee, Viking from Norway. I've talked to him quite
Ashbourne.
A bit, too.
Ashbourne.
And then there was a David from Ottawa, I think.
I'm not Toronto, my buddy.
That
Dave.
Was your buddy, I think. Yeah,
Dave Rayner. Yeah,
I wanted to say hi to him as well. I talked to him quite a bit. So.
Yeah, and that's one of the cool things too. Is you know, it being the second year, it was very cool to see people that we seen the first year, and then the people we hung out with, I knew right away, recognized, and you know, got to talk to them.
Oh,
and,
there was that. What was that? Oh, was it Dan?
Dan.
He's the one that he teased about having to get Vaseline to get pushed into his car, and we talked to him
Another Canadian there.
Was that his name, Dan?
I can't remember, but yeah, he's...
Because I think I thought it was David, and he's like, I said I was close, and he's like, it's Dan.
That could be.
But we had a blast talking with him. He has some funny stories to share and stuff. We sat and talked to him. I think that was the Thursday night.
Yeah.
We talked to him quite a bit.
Right.
And I was showing him that schematic I got a kick out of, that funny schematic I was sharing with people.
With
all those funny symbols, like 666 timer.
Oh, jeez. So take us a little bit through your weekend there, Andre. You know, okay, if you want to go through Thursday or Friday and, you know, tell us a little bit of what your thoughts and seeing things. And, you know, one thing I did forget to talk about, which any you two can share, is I forgot to talk about the jet demonstration.
That was phenomenal.
Throw that in.
Oh, yeah. They were nice.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I mean.
I go ahead.
You guys know how busy I was because I don't think I checked out. Thursday we didn't fly because of the conditions, and Friday I didn't check out from doing any volunteer duty till 2, and that's when we finally got up to go flying and everything. But we decided to see some of the, you know, the combats were always fun and to watch and everything, and those demos, the jet demo and the 3D demo, they just, the pace and the speed that those things can do is just mind-blowing. Awesome.
That like, first 3D demo was. Heart throbbing.
That
the little windmill of, as he's coming in for landing, and I'm like, how do you calculate this? How I would have just trashed the plane instantly, you know. So it's like, wow, just to have that, the confidence in the equipment and the knowledge, and like, I can't wait to see some of Wayne's photos, because I think it was the Saturday evening demo where the smoke and the sunset and the plane coming in and we're all going, he's flying through his own smoke, coming back at himself in the sunset. And I'm like, no, see.
Exactly. All the big nose, you know, and he's doing it flawlessly.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
But for me, I mean, there's that picture that the guy from the RC groups there, Matt, I forget his last
Matt
name.
Matt Gunn, I think it is.
Yes, that photo. As soon as I saw that photo, I grabbed it and I showed my wife and I said, see, that's Flight, and it's you, myself, Wayne, Mike, and then Mike Finley as well. We're all sitting there with our Radians in our hands. I'd forgotten that he had taken the photo of us, and I'm like, there, that is my weekend. It sounds so bad. And what did we learn about flying with a pack of Radiant?
Yeah.
You do wing waggles to make sure you're watching the right plane.
It's very intense.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, exactly.
It's supposed to be relaxing, and we're all like intently focused on our plane gliding about.
It was like the footage looks great because you can see us like crossing paths and everything, and everybody's just hunting for thermal. And then what was that? That one guy that had that wood covered one, that beautiful 110 inch, and he's like, oh yeah, there's lots of thermal up here, guys. I'm like, no, we're not finding it, but your craft obviously is significantly lighter because, but. Still, I mean, true. We all landed. We're like, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
Well, we are up there on a cloudy day, and so our underwings, I put markings on, but everything was black. Yeah,
didn't work.
You couldn't tell one plane from another. Yep. It was pretty funny.
And then you have three or four cycle past each other, and you're like, yeah, I'm still tracking mine. Okay, good, 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 good. I'm not going to fly for 10 minutes and discover it's not my airplane, right? But yeah, exactly. I mean, we all looked at the bottom of our wings and said, okay, that's my marking, that's your marking and everything. And once you got up there, everything turned black. Yeah. You know? And I'm like,
yep, exactly.
And we're all kind of like, yeah, trying to, oh, did anybody see that quad go by? Nope.
Yeah, because at one time we had, I don't know, might've been an Inspire, I think, was hanging with us for a while up there. And everybody's like, look, there's an Inspire up there. Look. And I was like, I'm not looking anywhere.
Yeah, that's how I was. Like, yeah. Even just flying my mini Radian, I was like, someone asked for my autograph, and I just hand Mike Finley my control, whatever. Did the autograph real quick, which he did well with that. So I was glad to reciprocate the him letting me fly his whip it a little bit.
Yeah.
But the and then in the evening, those two little kids who must have been all of what, 4 feet tall with the little remote straps and doing their 3D flying with their bloody wonders all lit up and everything. And I'm just sitting there going, wow. I mean, that's what we did one night, right? We just sat back and we were actually, in the tent because it was drizzling. And that was the real cool part about the entire experience. Like even Thursday when the drizzle set off, as soon as there was like an ounce of enough clear air and, you know, the rain had dissipated enough, planes were up there. People were flying in the wet no matter what. You know, it was phenomenal to see that, you know.
Those little kids you were talking about, is that the ones where he just reached out and grabbed his 3D plane?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. They were just
flying geniuses. I mean, it was beautiful to watch, and they had the little straps, so the remotes just kind of hung there. Yep. And it was just like,
they put us to shame.
Instantly. I mean, I tried flying 3D there with Chris's mono style plane. There's a 3D hobby shop, and instantly loved it. I was like, oh, this is so much fun to do it. And it's, you know, I couldn't find it. I couldn't buy a plane at Flight Fest to save my life for some reason, but I definitely was able to experience a couple different flying scenarios. And I mean, I threw the whip it a few times. We did the competitions and just got the knowledge that I was looking for. But
I was debating, I was this close to buying the Whippet, but I'm like, you know what, I really want to do the 3D, and you mentioned and I wanted to get those notes from you actually on what, or to assist me in my next 3D plane purchase.
I got everybody hooked on that,
but I didn't get to fly it, but I really want to do that.
I've been harping on that thing for 2 years. You guys need one of these planes, you need one of these.
And he said they're all basically similar, but I don't want to get the wrong one. Right. I want your assistance in the
and then I finally bring it out. You see what I'm talking about?
I saw Andre.
About.
He was having a blast. I'm like, okay, that sold me alone. If Andre's having this much fun, I have got to get one of these things. I didn't even fly it, but I know that's the next step I'm going to go with.
I tried to tell you.
And I'm saving my money for that step.
See, I've made so many mistakes, so I'm trying to guide you guys in the right direction.
And we appreciate your knowledge.
Not that I'm always right. Sometimes I'm wrong. I admit it.
I definitely want you to help me pick one of them out. Yeah, and they're not overly expensive. You can get them fairly cheap to bang around and really beat up on and learn things.
Right,
so.
Right.
That's what I want.
I can't wait. Speaking of the field, I can't wait. I really hope Austin has a chance to find out, you know, how many planes they pull from the soy field.
Oh, that's a good point.
Field. I went in. Like, we're walking down the flight line, and I think I was taking a bit of a break talking to you guys, and I saw that wing go into the cornfield and deep. And, you know, the pilot, the guy, he kind of just does this 360 and gets all disoriented. I hand my clipboard and my radio off to you. No, I had my radio. I handed it off something else. I think it was a box you'd passed me, Chris. And I just bolted it straight into the field. And I go in, and all I hear over the radio is like, "Hey, Andre, you look like a couple of sharks in the corn," and we're bopping through. And I went straight to it, and I just told the guy to cycle his motors or wiggle his servos, and we found the plane, and then we came back, and Wayne has got this awesome set of shots where I go into the corn mm-hmm. and disappear. And what, like 2 or 3 minutes later, the wing pops up from the top of the corn, and we come back hiking out, right?
Yeah.
But I can't, you know, the amount of planes that went into it. And even I, you know, Saturday there had a small issue with my Sky Mule. And
I felt for you bad.
Yes, you know what? I felt so bad. No. You got, guys? Last year, I would have been furious and upset. I'm at the point now, and this is just, you know, after a year.
It's just a setback now. It's not.
Well,
it doesn't.
It's a repair job. Yes, and I don't know what it was.
It's not as devastating.
It was an aileron. It was a technical. It wasn't really. I can't say it's pilot. I think I just rushed the setup because I had changed my receiver before I left, and obviously something was up. And I think if it hadn't been a soy field, I think the landing would have been fine.
Yeah.
But that soy was just like hitting a wall, and it crunched up the entire side. It tore the fuselage. So I've been doing some heat treatment on it. Anyhow, it will come back. It will be alive again and fly just fine. But that field,
can bring the dead back to life, it's definitely you.
the FT racer, and it was in the car, and I don't know if you had a chance to feel it when I brought it out of the car after sitting in the car for a couple of days in the heat. The glue was all tacky and everything. Yeah. But
and you didn't put it in combat. There was no combat the next day, and
I was a little disappointed in that. I wanted to see that thing into the combat, get completely destroyed, smashed into the ground, and then retired.
I didn't get to do exactly what I thought, and that was, I mean, Saturday was a long day, and it's funny because I threw that one in the air, and I'm flying, and Wayne's taking photos and everything, and the sweat is pouring down into my eyes and everything.
It just flew great, though. I forget what actually happened to that.
What happened to it? You saw the photos. Remember you laughing hysterically?
Yeah, but what exactly happened?
Oh, nothing. He flew it and everything went fine, but we were trying to get him to you got to tell the story that everybody was after that plane. Like, you had to keep it locked in your car.
Ryan there, crash recovery. He was like, you know, he was peeking into my car, seeing if he steal it. Like, there were threats against my airplane.
I know.
We're like, just put it in your tent. Yeah. It'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys, if you do anything, you take the electronics out before you sacrifice it on me. But they never got to it, right? And it was funny because I was getting Instagram and Twitter comments back saying, you know, what are you going to do with it now? I'm like, well, I'm going to keep flying until it's done. And everybody's like, you've got to retire this airplane. I'm like, no, it flies. It's just fine. I mean, it looks
and it
crazy.
Actually did. I mean, it was flying great when I saw it. I know that.
I mean, it's so I basically I'm gonna keep running it and we'll see if I total it. I total it, but at this point it's done it.
It's,
so
it's, yeah.
What was the other one? Well, I mean, Chris enjoyed.
I put my FT-22 in the combat, and I was coming back towards the people. I didn't even get close, and it was very short lived combat. I was probably like the first guy down, I think. But I was coming towards the people, and I was trying to bank hard left. I remember it vividly. And all of a sudden, it just nosedived straight into the ground, and my nose broke into three pieces. And I'm like, "What is going on?" But you know, I don't think that I did that. You know, because I was banking left.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Then I got on the forum page, and I saw people quoting stating that their tactic receivers were interfered a lot at Flight Fest.
Spectrum 2.
I had a cheapy tactic receiver on that plane with a cheapy transmitter, and I really feel like I had some type of interference during that combat. I'm not going to say it's not pilot error.
Yeah.
Because I have never completely flawless in the matter, but something really went on there and then after reading some people commenting on the tactic receivers and having issues with it, I'm thinking, I'm wondering if I had some issues there coming back to
the
Radian.
Right.
Especially when there's that many planes and that much noise going on at that time, too.
Now, I didn't have any problems with any of the DSMX, but I know some guys were having some issues with the especially the older DSM-2 receivers.
I read a lot of that, too. Yeah. So if I do combat next year, I'm going to put a cheapy DSMX in there, and I'll probably be better
off.
Diversity
antenna, because I had no issues with my FT Racer, and then all the other planes were running. I was running my...
But you didn't do any combats, correct? Nobody did except me.
Around the combat. Maybe next year. I got to work my way up to that.
Well, you have a great candidate at the race.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, no. I wanted to. And I think if we had planned it out, and I think this is where next year for me, I think I want to push for the flight day, the after hours envelope. I think we should, I want to push a couple things because we did have some comments coming back saying, I wish you guys had, announced that you were flying the big Radiance. We've got more airplanes. So I think next year I want to do more as a group.
Yeah. Right? We got to announce it to people too. Yeah, I think we talked about it, but we never pulled the trigger on that.
Yeah. So. Or, if it's really looking like that's something we can do, we can put it on the schedule, Hey, at 4 o'clock, we're going to have a FT after hours, Radiant flyer, gliding session or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Whip it competition. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's in my notes for sure. I got it wrote down.
And I was asked what my thoughts, a lot of people were asking about the Whippet, and I almost bought one, and by the time I got around to it, they were out. And I really enjoyed it, but the thing I enjoyed was we were in a group of four or five people. We had Whippet combat, for heaven's sakes.
Yes, I do remember that.
And that was awesome. And for me, I felt that if I'd bought one, it would have been neat for a while, and then I think on my own, I would have it would have been very much like my UMX Radiant, which sits on the shelf and waits for that special moment.
Right.
But, and even I flew the little Radiant just before Saturday, before we got pulled for the demo and then the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I discovered was I actually was flying that better than ever before because of my experience with the big Radiant. So I was enjoying that, and it was like, and then we of course did the live podcast.
I've had some good experiences with that micro Radiant too.
I have too. Yep.
I'm surprised.
I know. It is
really fun.
It's funny with that thing. It seems like you either have really good days where it does well, or it's just bad where you have the sync and it's not doing much. It's really kind of odd with that thing. Hit and miss, I think.
We were in a good spot too, the volunteer section where we could just toss it up and go.
I had its good points and its bad points. The good points were it was great flying down there at the end. The bad points was trying to walk all the way back and forth anywhere we had to go. And like I know we mentioned it on the other podcast too. The one time we did try to go down and fly, and we left from midpoint of the flight line. It took us 2 hours to get all the way back down to the. I mean, not just straight walking, but we'd walk and talk and walk and talk. And 2 hours later,
for the first combat session, I practically ran. I was like drenched in sweat trying to beat it, and I missed it by minutes.
I remember that.
I'm like, and then they all took off, and I was a minute away from getting takeoff. And unfortunately for combat, I didn't get my Bloody Wonder done either. And that's all my fault. I really, I forget what I was working on. I was working on something. Oh, this mini scout I worked on instead.
I pulled one out of the trash. It was better than yours, Mike.
I think Andre took that one.
It came home. You want me to put into that too? I'm going to grab
Chris is like, if it's in the trash barrel, that's fair game.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we're trash.
I'm going to put a 4S into that thing too.
You'll be like those guys from South Carolina, man, just zinging across the sky.
Yeah dude, it wasn't in that bad a shape, really.
No, I got a power pod.
No,
here
it was. The frame was
everything.
Fine.
Yeah.
The frame was
couple
fine.
Couple servos, yeah.
It even looked nice. A nice paint scheme on
it. It was all tape. Yeah. I'm like, why not?
Oh, it was tape. I thought I couldn't tell. I wasn't. Yeah.
What else? And I'm still repairing the wing on my EFX Racer. To give you an idea just how hot it is, because I think Saturday I didn't get back to the car after for a couple hours. The one of the ailerons must have been leaning on something, and it warped the aileron on the actual wing.
Yeah, I bet those planes got pretty hot in that car.
Yeah, I think
my
so.
My baby blender, wing went warped. I'm working on a repair for that right now. So,
man,
I think that was from heat too.
I had wrapped it in a towel to keep it protected, and I think that all had baked it. I should have probably put it inside one of the aluminum wing cover things and might have kept the heat. And I think it was in a bad position. Anyhow, yeah. It's almost back together. As soon as one comes up for as soon as they restock from Hobby King, I'll just order another one because that wing's had taken a couple of hits over the last year of me
bashing.
Is
that a glider, the FX? Is that a
no, that's thing? The that's remember. The high speed lawn dart.
The little yeah, okay. The
yellow one.
So, oh yes, yes.
Yeah, so it's almost back. I clamped it and heated it, but and then for me the other star, because the Sukhoi never even came out of the car, and based on everybody's landing experiences and the field condition, yeah, that plane wouldn't have flown. I mean, the Sky Mule didn't want to roll, so yeah. We hand tossed that. Yeah. And then, obviously, for me, the next star was my Fun Cup, which Chris and Wayne flew. Chris, you put me to shame flying that thing. Oh, man. You were able to do 3D maneuvers. I haven't even attempted yet. But, you know, it's just one of those planes. That was the first time this year I've had a chance to do night flying. So I'm going to put more LEDs on it because I really enjoyed that. But I did have a few orientation issues when it was up real dark, around 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, okay, let's bring that down a little lower so I can see where it's going, you know. And the night flying. Oh, wow. Hey?
Yeah, no doubt.
I remember handing Chris my Spitfire. He's like, what do you have in this thing?
Yeah.
He's like, it's so heavy. I'm like, I just jammed it full of lights. Yeah. I have two different controller boards in there. It lights up like a Christmas tree. Different schemes and modes. And I didn't even remember all the modes. You can change the speed of the flash. There's so many options that I have in that thing that I haven't even messed with or remember. Yeah. I mean, remember how to even set it up. So I'm flying, and it looks like I'm having technical failures because I have the speed so high on the flash. It's strobing. It's half giving me like seizures watching this thing in the sky, you know. And I'm like, oh, man, I hit the wrong mode button before I launched it. Some of it you have to do manually before you even set it.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
I had
yeah.
some remote controls, too, for flat changing
Jeez,
different
Mike.
Sequences
Holy
and things.
Cow.
But
yeah.
It looked great.
It did look good.
Than the flashing fast. And it flew great, too. I was surprised. Oh, well,
I had the same experience on Mike because I have the nav light set on the Fun Cub. And I started cycling through them, and I very quickly realized I didn't like them flashing, like almost strobe, because it was too distracting.
Sure.
So static was great, and I had enough lights along the wingtips and the nose, but I didn't have anything going to the back of the plane, so that made it a little bit more difficult. So I've got a bunch of white ones, so I'm just going to light them up on the bottom of it. I'm either going to shine them into the fuselage or they're going to hang down and just make the thing visible, because we still got some good night flying ahead of us this, into the later summer. And I just quite enjoyed it, and the Fun Cub is great because it'll slow down, you can pop the flaps in, and it lands really nicely, so...
the Vision Air flying. I think Andy was flying that.
Yeah,
he had problems with orientation stuff. Why they didn't put some colored LED, which we'd mentioned before flying,
right?
And he was struggling. He's like, it's just a white blob.
Yeah,
after there, you know.
Yeah,
you
once he gets out there a little ways, yeah, it's just kind
so
of.
So we talked to him
blob.
A little bit about it again, but.
And then there was that little Night Vision Air going around. That was hilarious.
The which one?
The Vapor.
Oh,
that was
Kevin Harris.
Kevin.
Yeah, flying around. He
went way high.
He did. I couldn't believe how far.
You know, he pushes the limits. There's no doubt about that guy. He definitely pushes the limits.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how high he had that little night.
He ended up wrecking some things early on, I remember.
Yeah, and I think
he
did.
Tell us some stories.
Yeah. I don't know if it was actually him, but I know his buddy, or maybe it was him. He had two Radians.
One of them
augured in. I think it was his.
That was Dave's.
Oh,
that was my buddy Dave, who had the he had the lockup on the DSMM-2.
Okay.
And that was the one he was like, oh, it's done. I'm like, no. Go down to
Andre's like, no, there is a patch and a fix for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he got it back up. He bought a lemon receiver. He picked up some
it did have a clean break,
rebuilt
I think.
It.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's great. That's but great that he was able to.
I saw it
that.
Go down. Like I think
yeah,
I was flying
was
and I see
hit.
Him bolt down the center flight.
Is that
line,
the one
like,
where the nose broke and you could see where like am I thinking right the
I can't
like, the
remember.
Nose break? It broke the foam like
it wasn't
half.
Real bad though.
No, he hit all the chunks.
Yeah.
That's just it. He had all the foam too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think Kevin Harris crashed one of his Radiants too, if I
he
remember.
He did, because I think wasn't he doing inverted?
That's right. He was doing inverted and lost the yeah. I'm going, you're doing inverted with a Radiant? What are you
you thinking? Well, just flies great upside down. I'm like, oh my gosh.
And my wing, I wasn't even doing a lot, and my right wing came flying out. And I'm like, I'm not even doing inverted, and I'm having the wing fall off. I can't imagine what he's doing.
And a little bit before that, I was going to joke around with you and go, Mike, I think I seen your wings coming out. And then you come down and go.
I was debating taping them in because, you know, I get out of control sometimes. You don't know what kind of G's I'll be pushing up there with a glider.
You know, it's funny. I've heard people folding up the wings on the Radiant. I haven't seen it yet, but
That sounds like a challenge for me.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. The other thing we kind of learned too is
Peter's 10 wing plane too was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I can't believe that thing made a circle around the place. Differential thrust.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that thing either. That was unbelievable. Cool. We definitely kind of learned one thing in a way, but I don't think I'll stop doing it, is all the time I usually bring like 8, maybe 9, 10 planes. I don't know, somewhere around
way
it.
More than I needed.
8 to 10 planes, and Andre, you were probably pretty close to that, but we generally only fly like maybe 2 or 3 airplanes, always.
I did fly my F4F Wildcat. I think it was
Saturday
morning. No one was around, and that's kind of like when I like to fly my pristine stuff. When no one's around, I don't get the nervous jitters. Flew great, and I did it in the morning. I know it was Saturday morning when I first arrived. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to fly real quick, get it out of my system, then go meet everybody.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to try your gunfighter there, Chris.
I know.
But the thing is, like Saturday, we were fried.
Yeah.
I was so tired. So we just flew all the – and we were doing all the little whippets and that. But, yes, my post notes are basically next year, 4 planes. That's it.
Yeah. You know, we have too much fun talking to everyone too, I think.
Bingo. Yep. Bingo.
It's just too much fun just to see everyone.
Yeah, I think you're right. Bring about 3 or 4 planes, have a group fly, you know.
And a couple schedule things, maybe even an area where people know what area we're in on the schedule too, like a designated area or something for flight test or after hours.
And that's it. So it was like I want to bring my big Radian, my little Radian, the Fun Cub as my night flyer, and then a belly lander of some sort, because we know the conditions of the field are just – even after they mowed it was still pretty tough. You know what else I really, really would like to do, and we should I hope that we can talk with Austin and set it up, but it would be really awesome to do a live podcast on Friday night or something like that, you know?
Yeah, Wayne and I talked about that too. The problem I was having is, you know, obviously we were busy, and it's now, you know, way past a week after that. It's hard to remember people I talked to and the things we
if
did.
If I didn't have these notes, I wouldn't have remembered
thing.
Or so, my name, I mean.
Yeah, we were actually kind of talking to maybe even like do it twice during Flight Fest, is just do a live podcast that night and talk about the things we did for the day and the people and have questions and
while it's fresh there.
Yeah, while it's everything's all fresh.
Interactive.
Exactly.
It'd be really nice.
Right. So I think that's something that we can work on.
I just kind of tucked back there. I enjoyed listening to it, and I'm glad I didn't have to. But I just enjoyed the podcast. I got to sit back and enjoy it. So.
Right. But I think it was almost too early in the evening because it was.
People were still flying. It was a prime
time. Well, this is it. It was prime flying time, right? Because we had the demo.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it. Or the after hours guys. We can go from 8 o'clock onwards.
Sure.
Schedule it an after hours at night for sure.
Yeah.
Now you ended up staying there, which I did not do. I did not brave task that.
I'll tell you what, I really enjoyed staying there.
I would have
really
too.
Did.
I honestly do. I just my body can't rough it anymore.
I just need a cot, man.
I don't even have that, so I would have been really roughing it.
It really wasn't that bad. I mean, I had, you know, my coffee and everything, and then I had a great
this
tent.
Part of the I really wanted to do that,
it,
too.
It really makes the experience
way better.
Because
you probably got up earlier.
Oh.
Heck, I'm still getting out of bed, and I'm showing up, and you're halfway through your day.
Oh, yeah. We were up at, you know, 5:36 and walked down to the shower house and to see the I can't remember. I want to say it was Friday morning when I got up. They had this, what do they call it, convection fog rolling in across the field,
yes.
Mike, and you just couldn't even hardly see anything. And then the sun started coming up, and it was burning off the – it was just beautiful. And I thought, man, I should almost get something out right now. That's, you know, kind of where I wish I still had the Blade AP platform, man. I would have fired that thing up that morning and just cruised
that's
around.
That's what's bad about my H-Quad. I was so focused on us gliding, and it was too far away – or the whippets. I was getting pictures – And I was so focused to the right, I didn't get the full realm with my imaging of the whole. I never panned to the left. I'm like, oh man, I wanted to show my wife how large this event truly was.
Right, right.
Because I was up high enough and stuff. I just never panned left. I was so focused on our group to the right there along the road.
Yeah.
Trying to get good images.
Right. Andre, it looks like you had a couple good shots that came off the radiant of the flight line.
Yes, he had some good overhead shots.
It wasn't bad. The video came out a little glitchy. I think I just, it was something in my post-processing, but I'm like, it is what it is. But you could get the scope, and I was actually showing Laura and when we got home, like, I'm like, see all the straw? How it's, that was us. And I was joking with Austin a couple days later going, if you had told me that I would have went, you know, drove 900 kilometers to hail, you know, to haul bales of straw all week long, I wouldn't have been.
I got quite a bit on my shirt. I was all sweaty, and I'm like, I couldn't even swipe off the little bit of hay of straw or whatever.
We made about three or four runs. I got about 14 bales into his truck each time, and we stopped on the driveway, and we carried two bales down to the main flight line and then said, no, that was not a logical thing.
That's when I saw you guys go by and I tagged up with you guys because I'm like, if they're doing much more than that, they're going to need the help.
Yeah,
but
right.
Then they decided to do it closer. When I'm like,
fantastic way to deal with the mud. And, you know, it was – so I'd hop into the truck with Austin and we'd drive down to the local farm depot or store and pick up the stuff and come back and just like, okay, we need volunteers, and we start laying stuff down. So there's some great shots of Josh Bixler on the in the vendor row kind of thing, just throwing hay everywhere.
Yeah. He was on Periscope.
We got him on Periscope. We did his little dance. We were like, please quit.
But it made all the difference to the place, you know, like it really made a difference in soaking up that water. Yes. And
stuff. It was awesome.
And so that
I would have never thought of that either. I'm like, what are they going to do with all this mud?
But we just talked to Austin today about it too. Actually, you asked him when we were
how bad the damage
was. And he says it really doesn't look that bad now. And of course, I don't know if you've seen, his dad has that giant roller back there that he hooks up. So
he can level
the once that thing kind of dries out a little bit and you, the bad thing with the straw is it does kind of make a mess because over the years at the Motocross Nationals, that they do the same thing. They spread out the straw and everything. But, you know, you get the straw cleaned up and you run that roller over there and throw some grass seed out, it probably would be pretty good, I would
imagine.
Can
you use like a raker to get the straw up? I mean, do you try to rake it up or you just leave it rot?
Yeah, it's,
you just leave it rot.
Yeah, it's going to be in there pretty darn good.
For sure.
Yeah.
And you know, we have to say a huge heartfelt thank you to Diane and John. They were just phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes,
he was nonstop.
Sunday I went over and made a special thank you to Andre. I just said thanks so much for housing this event.
Yeah, awesome. I think, I mean, I could be wrong, and I thought this year it was going to be somewhere different, but I just think next year it's going to have to go somewhere a little different, I think.
Yeah, if they have another rainy day, we just, you know, we managed or everybody just managed as best they could. But obviously, if it's a rain situation and the field and if they do it next year there, hopefully they'll push the date back to the original date. So the harvesting will be done of the soy field and the corn.
Mm-hmm.
So at least we have a little less lost aircraft and carnage as far as, I mean.
The tents were phenomenal. They did well with the tent setups.
Yes.
I will say that.
Packed. It was so awesome to see those
huge tents filled. Yes.
Yeah.
The build tents.
Right. And I think too.
And also the power. That generator was so quiet for running that power. My buddy said he didn't ever see him refuel it.
Oh, they
I'm
did.
I'm sure they did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I did. Yeah.
Okay. He was working the ice cream booth or whatever, and he's like, I didn't see him fill it through the day. So.
Yeah,
no, I don't know how long they ran, but those were nice I thought they were nice generators.
I think we had four, possibly five, because I was doing fuel checks or diesel checks throughout the weekend as well, and they were good for 40 hours. So
wow.
Because I think we had one for the tent, and we had the vendors, and we had the food, and then there was one at the shower, and I think there was possibly another one kicking
did
around.
Did you think the generators were quiet? I thought they were for what they were out.
No, they did the job.
Yeah.
They did a nice job.
That's exactly what they make those things for, just exactly for that purpose. So they're, you know, they run quiet, last a long time, and yeah, a little different than the first year. I think we had to go down and get two more.
My buddy, pardon?
Well, the first year, Wayne and I had to go down and get like two more, but we were just running the small little, you know, portable ones.
I know my buddy, he was thankful to have power for his milk and honey booth because he didn't have to listen to a generator.
By the way, that milk and honey ice cream.
That ice cream is phenomenal.
Andre, did you get any of that ice cream?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't. No, I didn't make it to the ice cream thing, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh. I would have got you one. I have a connection there, you know.
It was fantastic.
I eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I know. And it was funny because I think you guys saw the state I was in on Saturday. I mean, by the time we stopped, I was just happy to do a little bit of flying. And it was just, I think at one point, I think we hit. Just before, no, it was after the podcast that we all went, I wonder if the truck is still open with the food because none of us had supper.
Yeah, you know? You're right. And everything was shut down.
They were shut down.
Yep, everybody was shut down. Well, there was a couple just regular food vendors open, I believe. Wasn't there one open?
Yeah. And you know who was smart? The guy selling the LED lights, he stayed open all night.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was a good point.
It was just the whole scene was, I mean, and it's funny because I was saying to everybody as we're going along and I was hoping that we were all taking check notes and just lesson learned. And it's like, okay, well, what do we need to do next year? And they're already talking, expanding the tents, you know, and expanding the project tents and stuff like that, which is just phenomenal to see.
Yeah.
I mean, those tables were packed and Austin's like, okay, Andre, how many more tables do you think you need? How many more chairs do we think we need? Because he's like, let's just order them and get them out. And, you know, this mountain, you know, 50 more tables. Table show up, okay, and they're gone. They're out and distributed. We just call up some volunteers, and they're off and they're set up. And same thing with the chairs and everything. And it's just, you know, the appetite is clearly there for this event, which is phenomenal.
Right.
960 pilots, 960 plus pilots.
Is that what the number turned out to be?
Something like that. And you know, total attendance was what, approaching 3,000? I want to say.
Wow.
It was awesome. And, you know, like people, I'm walking down the flight line like Saturday morning going to the showers because my shift would start at 7:00. And there's people, there's planes on the table, there's remotes on the, there's people's stuff. And, you know, I don't think you could trust it in any other environment. You know, would you leave your remote lying around? I wouldn't, but I mean, nothing went missing as far as I know.
Yeah, I didn't hear anyone say anything like that going on. No. So.
You know, it's just that community. And, you know, and it's funny because we talk about the flight line thing and I'm walking by and there's Keith Brown. He's like, hey, Andre, how you doing? You want a hamburger? I'm like, sure, why not? You know, I just had a real quick lunch and I'm about to go back on my shift Saturday. And he's like, here, have a hamburger.
Oh, that's thank funny. You. You know, the other thing too, is the lost and found pile got pretty big. So that's true testament too, where anybody, you go out there and find some of that stuff. You easily just take it back to your truck or your tent or whatever, where, you know, everybody was very.
Comb in the field and then just take back what you find and then have people retrieve their own stuff.
Of course, there was that one quad that came in from out of, off the 43.
Yeah, we talked. That's right. We talked about
what
that.
What happened? I didn't miss that one.
Well, you remember they had a flyaway. I think it was on Friday.
See, I'm a
small 250 quad flew away. Well, later on, I don't know if it was Friday night or Saturday, whatever, someone found a small quad way like out on Route 43, which was, I don't know, 5 miles away probably.
I had to miss this story completely.
We never really heard or followed up to whether if it was that person's quad or if maybe somebody left it on their car and drove away.
Up. Yeah.
We didn't hear, but still to find one that far away. Yeah, that's crazy.
And then, you know, everybody going into the field and finding equipment. And it was what was really funny was the poor guys doing the quad racing. They must have spent more time in the soy field looking for their down crafts, you know.
Yeah.
And Peter was trying his infrared camera, his forward-looking infrared camera. And unfortunately, the difference between the equipment and the ground temperature wasn't a great enough difference for him to differentiate.
Yeah.
And then I know Alex or IB Crazy had a spectrum analyzer, so he could try and find, you know, your FPV transmissions. But still, you'd sit there, and there was one night, and there was a whole group of them in the field with their flashlights combing, just looking for one lost quad.
Yeah. And that was a crazy thing, too. Even with the 250s, like, they were small enough, even when they had lights on them, and they'd go down and bury themselves down into the soybeans. You couldn't see the lights unless you were almost standing on top of it.
Yeah, And that was like, you could see it even in my daytime video when we flew the Radian, you could just see people in the field all along, you know, and it was, and I was walking along and this guy came in for landing with a Park Zone P-51 gunfighter and just touched the edge of the Yasui and it spun him in and it just shredded the airplane.
Really?
The fuselage just exploded because it went in. And like I said, it's like hitting a wall. I mean, wow. It just cut on the sky mule. You saw it. It cut the side of the airplane completely open.
Wow.
So like that stuff is tough.
And I recently bought a tile and I've heard mixed reviews on it. And I tested it at work today actually. Uh-huh. And it was working within that environment, but I guess people out there were trying to use it and not having luck with it. But I'm definitely going to attach it to things I'm flying anymore. I've had enough flyaways in my kinetic. Yeah. I completely lost my H quad. I completely lost. So I'm going to zip tie to whatever I'm flying. It's better than nothing. It's $25 purchase. I don't care if it works. It works great. I mean, that it'd pay for itself. But if it doesn't, I'm only out $25. Yeah. I thought it was worth a shot.
Sure. So. And then, dummy me, that reminded me, you were talking about the FPV racing. I was Austin and Alex and those guys, they were pretty swamped there the first few days. And, you know, so Austin says, all right, here's the flight test periscope. Take it. Just do stuff. I'm like, okay, we can do that. Yeah. So, you know, the one day we ventured up and down the flight line, talked to everybody and see, you know, where everybody was from. But I wanted to try to get the true scope of the size and everything. So I thought, okay, I'm going to venture out in the soybean field, and I'm going to show, you know, the flight line and the tents and everything. And dummy me, not even thinking, and Wayne said something afterwards, I ventured out and walked right in the middle of the FPV course there. So I'm, you know, concentrating on the phone and answering questions and showing the flight line. Well, needless to say, these 250 quads were buzzing around me just like you, I mean, over my head. And I was like, ooh, that was close. I probably even heard me on pairs. I was like, and didn't realize it till later on. And I look back and I go like, you dummy, you walked right in the middle of the FPV course, you know, and didn't even realize it.
Well, they had people out there. Yeah, that was a comment afterwards. It's like, you know, they're running the race and there are people out there looking for their quads. It's like, no, we can't do that. So I think they were making changes on the fly.
Right.
But and top marks for those guys. They must have worked really hard with their frequency management, because I know I was in their tent at one point and someone comes running in going, I see a table. Someone just fired up their FPV gear. Please shut it down so you don't take someone out of the sky. You know, so they were really they really stepped up the game as far as getting it. But again, it's one of those things where it must have been really hard to manage the time. And I think a lot of people were just waiting to fly very often because of just the sheer volume. I mean, I didn't even bring any gear for that reason, because I just understood that it would be so complex, especially when you're running the quad racing, because basically you need to block off the entire spectrum just to protect your pilots who are flying. So.
Yeah, that was crazy. I hung out a little bit in there with Chris from MultiGP, and you know, looking at that board that they had
and the little timers,
I think each pilot, minutes, and but the names on each line, they probably had 10 lines. I mean, and there was probably, I don't know, 10 names on each line, you know, after that, and quo waiting to fly. I was like, wow, that's just crazy. And I kind of understand a little bit, you know, with those guys when their quads went down to go after them, because the problem is, and you guys can attest to this, well, that it's, if you lose that perspective or glance or blink, when your
sight line on where you went down.
It was so difficult to find anything, you know what I mean?
And if you didn't keep the sight line, everything looked the same in the backdrop of the fields, obviously.
And, yeah. And if it's transmitting and it's still alive and transmitting, well, no one else can fly.
Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, no one else can fly until you retrieve your quad and shut down your battery, right?
Right.
So it's complicated.
If you had short grass, it wouldn't have
been. Yeah, it would have been fine. If it would have been like last year, it would no perfect. Problems.
Because you could see it out there, you'd know where it's at. You wouldn't be rushing out there to get it.
Right.
But again, they'll evolve it, and they'll be even better next year.
Oh, yeah. It was minor little setback. It didn't stop, really, I don't think, hardly anybody from doing what they wanted to do and fly what they wanted to fly, you know.
Who was the guy that had the – I think it was his kid with the blue hair? I want to give him a shout out.
That was
too.
That's Ryan and Pat. Seth. Yeah, Ryan and Seth. Pat.
Ryan and Ryan
and Seth had a wicked throw on that on the whippet, eh?
Yeah, we were talking about that.
And he and the one is that his dad then, Ryan?
Ryan yes, is Ryan. Yes. Yep.
He threw my baby blender and I felt so bad because idiot me, I ramped up the motor. I didn't ramp at full throttle, but I was testing to see that the prop. He's like, "Whoa, what are you doing?" I'm like, "I am so sorry. That is, I mean, sorry doesn't put the thumb back on the hand."
Yeah,
like
right.
You know, the Simpsons. Marge is like, or Homer's like, "Sorry doesn't put the thumb back on the hand, Marge." You know, so I felt god awful for that, and I apologized. And he's like, "Oh, don't worry about it." You know, I'm like,
yeah, no harm,
stupid,
no foul.
I felt bad. That was a stupid thing.
But on that note, we had I think we had a very safe. We actually had a very successful and safe weekend. There weren't the odd cuts and bruises.
Yep.
Someone got a cut. I thought. I forget who it was. They used liquid.
Yeah, it was. I think it was. Man, I can't remember who it was. But yeah, he had a prop strike like in between his fingers. Yeah, but it wasn't real bad.
I, was it an FT-22 or something?
I can't remember.
That's
what
the same
it was.
One I got cut on my hand, and I thought I was sharing that story.
Oh, I was walking by one gentleman. He had a minor strike as well, and he just said, it's not the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he blew it off. It wasn't a big deal.
And I think I seen minor a few injury. Planes fire up. You know, under the build tent.
I heard people say and stuff
they got plugged up battery, you know. But all in all, I mean, if you got 900 and some
people,
pilots
and
you got a few scrapes and bruises and
well, that's
burns
what my buddy
and,
from work, he's like, when they do these combats, do people realize it's like, you should do a disclaimer or announcement like when, you know, at baseball games, they're like, when we say play ball, we mean everyone. You know, you keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah.
Where when there's combat going on, you better keep an eye on your little area there because if something's coming your way, you need to bail or whatever, you know. He's like, I can't believe people don't wear like
a hard hat
shield or something that they can throw up last minute or something because, I mean, you lose an aileron. I mean, there's a lot of things. Luckily, it's a lot of smaller stuff for the most part in the combats, I noticed.
Yeah, it's small, lightweight
but
foam
still,
stuff.
It's like,
I was bummed they didn't get no Carbon Cub in there this year, you know,
like last year. Well, but you had you
no
had
go ahead.
Sorry,
that's all right. I was just going. Wayne and I talked about it too. I was completely blown away that this stupid little champ won two combats in a row.
That was fun.
That was
a little lower.
I was cheering him on like nobody's business, man.
I'll tell you that first combat had an epic end too.
Oh, where the head to head.
They actually did a jousting thing, and they did. I mean. I never thought that was going to happen. That is
I didn't
just
either.
You don't realize all of the your variables trying to come in head on at each other, and they actually they did it. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
but the champ was pretty cool too.
That was
cheering
cool.
That on. The crowd was in on that.
Yeah, they were.
Champ,
yeah, the whole crowd was yelling, "Champ, champ, champ,
champ, champ!" And he get down just below, just above the come down a little lower, my little friend.
Someone hit him, and it did no damage to either plane.
He was lucky. And the thing was, with all those other airplanes watching him initially with the wake turbulence off of everything else, I don't even know how he's keeping it in the air. There's a couple times he just about got.
They had one time they had him real climb pretty high too.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah. So that's good piloting skills.
And then speaking of the Carbon Cubs, watching those two guys fly around together was just air superiority.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Flying together, you're sitting there going, well, you know, if they hit anything, that's confetti.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that plane really is, Andre, like if you like the Fun Cub, the Carbon Cub is almost better than the Fun Cub. You would just absolutely enjoy that airplane.
I'm sure I would enjoy it. I just wouldn't be able to put it in my car.
Yeah. I don't know because
no.
Okay. All right. I got you. Because, man, you can fly that in any kind of weather, any conditions. As you've seen on Thursday, those guys were cranking those things around. We had, 15-mile-an-hour gusts.
Even better than
rails.
The Beaver, I assume, because it's bigger and heavier.
10 times. Way better than the Beaver.
As far as handling conditions. Just because of the weight alone and
size. They do, 3D maneuvers, and they slow down to a snail's. I mean, it's just a great, great airplane. It really is.
It was fun. And
then, what else you got there?
Well, there was Toby. He was there. We'd met him last year.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
He had his scratch build Beaver.
Yes.
He was flying it really well because we were watching his approaches coming in on one wheel and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. That was a pretty nice build.
Yeah.
There were a lot of fantastic, scratch builds that people came up. Like the one that won the first combat was that, when he was rocking out a big 8,000, battery.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
The twin, it's kind of like this mix between a Kraken.
Yes.
No, it was a Kraken and yes. a Bloody Wonder. And I mean, and he had a differential thrust and he could slow it down mm-hmm. and Alpha. That was his trick. He could
high alpha. Yeah.
And he had tons of battery capacity behind it too. So he'd just sit there and outgo because those wings, I mean, their speed, their advantage is the speed and maneuverability. But it was like that. Well, the last two jousting, I was like, how are they managing to keep them? Momentum up, particularly on the wing, right?
Yes,
right.
So. Yes,
yeah. And you would think a big giant foam airplane like that, just in a Harrier or going around, would be easy to hit, but it's really tough.
I'm sure their perspective doesn't help either. But
as we pointed out before, when you're trying to hit things,
when
it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You go out to fly with one other guy, and you collide. You know, it's like, oh, geez.
That was it. And you'd be walking along, and you hear this crack, and everybody go, oh, during the non-combat, right?
Yes, correct. Some of the non-combat sessions seem like combat sessions. Just the fun flies. Some more carnage then.
and for the safety thing, I only saw a few flight line incursions, so that wasn't too bad at all. People just having an issue here and there or a lockout.
There wasn't a whole lock going beyond the. I saw it once in a while. People beyond the flight line a little, and it could have been my perspective. I realized later too that it looked like they were beyond the flight line, but then I got to peeking out, and I'm like, you know what? They might have still been in the flight line. It was just my perspective viewing it. So,
and then the only other guys, I think, were having a worse weekend than us.
Oh, I know who you're going to go with. High tech guys, I'll bet.
Oh, that's right. I completely forgot
they
about
were,
the high tech
guys.
I
felt bad for those guys. They were always coming back with something wrecked.
Yeah.
So Kurt took out one of their.
There's a Nick with high tech too that I talk to often.
What was the plane that they hit? The dogfighter, right?
Yes.
So he completely destroyed that. And then I guess at one point we saw these guys pulling a Polaris out of the trash can.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's right.
Apparently, they lost another dogfighter. So they were having a rough weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they ended up like, I don't know how many they wrecked.
I don't know. Yeah.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah. But I've heard before those guys, they like to,
they push the limits.
Yeah, they push the limits.
Especially when they're demonstrating.
Yeah, they push the limits. They like
to
fly.
What was his name? Aaron. He was pushing the limits and he lost something on his 3D large scale for the demo.
Yeah, his engine quit.
I don't know exactly what happened, but.
I don't know if that was.
And then he just buried it.
Ran out of fuel, or I'm not sure.
Was that the one with the prop motor on the back?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It had like the.
Is his name Aaron? I think.
Aaron Bates.
Aaron Bates.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He did a demonstration, but then
that
at the end he crashed.
Wild watch too.
Yeah, that was unreal.
I didn't get to see that plane up close to see how that rear prop.
It's worked, it's but... a, like a tail rotor off of a big giant helicopter.
Oh really?
Yeah, and I think it's run off a. I don't know if it's direct.
So
drive
it was
belts.
Vertical with the fuselage. Like
yes.
Okay.
Yep, yep.
I was looking for like.
So basically,
it's
just be like a tail,
sure.
You know, and he
sure.
could really have a lot of authority with it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about Aaron Bates' demo too. That's another thing I forgot to talk about.
Yeah. All those gas powered 3D demos were just crazy.
Oh,
and then,
I love that. That was believe it or not, I like the 3D stuff.
Yeah,
that was my favorite demonstration, I think.
Yeah, that was impressive.
I don't even know who was flying at this point to get
it. Yeah, Wayne and I mentioned it. I can't remember. It being this far now, were we 2 weeks out or whatever?
So here's the other question. How exhausted were you when you got home?
Sunday night I was pretty tired, and then I had to get up early and go to work Monday. And Monday I was dragging pretty bad Monday. I really was. Yeah. It took me a couple days to kind of recuperate.
Yes, at my feet.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's bad. I had Monday I went to work, and then Tuesday I went to Niagara Falls with the family, and we walked our butts off that
week. Oh my gosh, you gotta be kidding me.
And then we went to Cedar Point the last day. I'm looking at my walk pattern on my iPhone, and it is crazy. It keeps track of the steps, because I noticed Austin posted his on Instagram.
81 miles?
It is 81 miles. And I looked at mine across 3 days. I roughly did 30 miles, which is a lot for me.
Right.
And he did more days. And then I don't know what my last week was, but I'm like, wow, I'm definitely putting some miles on these legs.
I can tell you I was up there and wearing those rubber boots on those 2 days.
Oh, that killed your feet. I know. You were so happy to get them off.
Yeah. Oh, hot after, but I was so happy to have them because it just allowed me to deal with. Sure. And the number one mistake I made was at one point I was doing the I was taking care of the vendors and I'm walking around with a clipboard. I'll never do that again.
Because they think you know everything.
I always tell everybody,
go to the guy with the clipboard. Yeah,
you can go put on a fake badge, act like you know where you're going, and have a clipboard. You can go anywhere in the world.
But it was you know, a heartfelt, like, to the. I was standing there Saturday dealing with parking, and with the heat, we were trying to rotate people as fast as we could because I didn't. You're coming out to help us, and people were randomly coming up, going, "Hey, you know, my kid's flying. I'm here." We had that one lady from Arizona, and she's it's like 104 at home, so this is darn right comfortable to me.
Jeez.
Can I help you guys out while my kid, my son and my dad go and fly? And I'm like, oh, you know, like, bless your heart, thank you. And we put her on the gate for an hour or two, and I was like, thank you, you know, because it was starting as the heat picked up. I wanted to get people off the cyclone through, and it was just it just happened over and over again. And we'd put a call out over the PA and just say, yeah, we need more. And it was like, you know, exactly. So it's. But Monday, James was making fun of me because I was cleaning up and doing laundry and everything. And he says, I was doing laps around the kitchen. I was tired because when we left, I think we left at about close to noon on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And we must have rolled. I think I got home 11 hours later. It was a little bit slower with the convoy. And we kind of took our time going home and then got up the next morning kind of thing and just took care of the cleanup. But I was tired.
Yeah, I was. I didn't leave too much later than you did, and I'm kind of glad I did. I had to be home anyway because my wife had to go to work that evening. But like you said, once I finally got home, unpacked the complete car, take everything out, and it was pretty late in the evening. And then after that, I was toasted.
Yeah, and then all through the week and everything. But it was. For me, it was different because last year, I mean, we were all.
It was all new. Too.
Well, and I'd been involved with the big FT flyer, and I got them, and I didn't get to do the finale. So it was really, it was funny because the emotions were pretty high as I was leaving because it was just, it had been that special.
Right.
And then you get home and they did the video and you know, Alex is mentioning my name and everything. And it's like, wow, you know, that's cool. And this year, because of the work was in, and what was really special though, is it's kind of like we handed off the torch for the community builds, you know, and we inspired so many more people. So while I was watching like the Cree fly take off, you know, before I left, it was kind of nice because it was like, you know what, other people are involved with it, so I don't have that tie, so I can get out of here. My weekend's complete, and you know, I'd been there since Wednesday, so I was good and ready to go.
Yeah, right.
After camping and everything, but it was nice in that it was yeah, okay. And I liked Sunday, you know, just being the shutdown day was kind of nice because I know last year we tried to pack a lot of stuff into Sunday and then get out. And of course, they were calling for like even more rain Sunday afternoon. So I was like, okay, tear down, let's go kind of thing. And we were all packing up our cars and we all said our goodbyes and we all left really happy and content as far as I was concerned. Yeah. So
I noticed the kids were doing like karate kicks on the 10-wing plane at the end.
Oh, Sunday. Were they? Yeah, I didn't see that.
Somebody must have told them to go ahead and demolish it.
Oh, yeah. Peter pretty well said that after. He said, we're not taking this one home because there's nowhere to put it.
Yeah, there's nowhere to store it.
The other weird thing is, I think it happened last year too on Sunday, is things are just like winding down. People are leaving or anything. But we had such a great little group fly Sunday morning that it was at that point I was sad because I could have probably just done that all day. It was just fantastic. We were, you know, flying anything and everything that morning, you know, the Fun Cub.
I was probably still sleeping then.
You got there a little bit later, 10, but I mean,
the, yeah. We had the water coming off the fun cub on landing and take off, and the grass.
That's the image I saw with the grass all over there.
There are grass stains on my fun cub now.
Is there really?
In between the flaps and everything, there's like green. I'm like, wow, it was a lot of grass.
Oh, that's funny.
Go ahead. But I mean, you know, it was that had been the first time Wayne had flown the fun cub, right?
Yes.
So it was kind of neat, and it was fun to throw the controls into someone else's hand and say, here, go at it. And Wayne was like, actually, this is really nice. And you were even saying that you missed yours. And so I think next year, I know the volunteering means a lot to me, but I think next year, like I said, my role is we'll champion the after hours flying events and just have a blast doing that, I think.
Yeah, it's really kind of crazy too for me is that a lot of my planes are, I guess you could say, out of sight, out of mind, and I forget about them. Like the Fun Cub, everybody knows the story. My first one got completely totaled when I was buddy boxing a friend of mine, bought another one. It's been sitting in the box now for 2 years. And so you just forget about it. My EPP 3D plane that you flew, used to fly the daylights out of that thing and quit and got put way up on a shelf and kind of forgot about it. And then I brought it out for you. Well, guess what I took out? Like, I think it was last Tuesday we went flying. I took that out and was flying the daylights. And I thought, I forgot how fun this plane really is. And why don't I fly it more? You know, it's just crazy how that works.
Do you want to – yeah, I have a disappointment in that. I came home empty-handed, and the vendors did their job as far as, you know, the main theme for Flight Fest, you mm-hmm. know, you know, getting the young flyer in, and we had that conversation with one of the suppliers, and he's like, yeah, you know, this was our focus, because I went there hoping to pick up maybe a Warbird, but I couldn't find any profile 3D planes after I flew yours, because it was like, you know, I've got the servos at home, I've got the batteries, and I'm here, and I couldn't find anything. I mean, I spent a fair bit of money in the flight test stores for gifts for the family and everything,
right?
And you know, bought another plane for my dad. But
I know what you mean by Canadian pricing when I was at Niagara Falls too. My lord!
Yeah,
I could not believe it. I don't do this stuff, but my brother-in-law, he was doing, what's it called, dip or the tobacco?
Oh yeah,
chew.
Yeah.
I think he said the can he got. He's like, no, I said one can. It was like $28.
Oh
Canadian.
My gosh.
Oh yeah, that's just.
He's like, well, now I know how they pay for their health care. Like, oh my! He's like, I can't believe you even purchased that.
My issue with the suppliers was, you know, like I couldn't find there were odd little trinkets, but I couldn't find a plane that I'd say, yeah, I'd go for that, you know. And it was, and even when I got home, I was looking at, you know, I really started researching. And things like shipping, we checked out one, was it Twisted Hobbies, I think, Chris, you were mentioning?
I got to write that down.
It was like $40 just to ship a foam plane that isn't even assembled. I'm like, my goodness. Yeah. So,
and the sad thing was, too, Andre, is West Michigan Park Flyers was on the vendor list, so I don't know what happened. Obviously, something must have come up and they couldn't make it, but right there would have been your 3D plane. And, and actually, Steve Savada had one and was flying the daylights out of that thing.
Yes. Yes, I looked over his. He had quite a nice little setup. We had actually chatted about that with him too. So I was like, because as soon as I flew that, I was just like, oh, this is so much fun. I could do this in my backyard, even in like a 10-foot box, you know. Because like you said, just if you get in trouble, cut the throttle, let it fall to the ground, reset the prop, go.
Yeah.
You know?
And I know Chad used to do that with his a lot. He had a blast with it. He had a bear or something.
The rare bear.
Rare bear. He was flying all the time. Yep. He loved it.
Yeah.
There was one individual, maybe you remember their name. They told us a whole story about their F4F Wildcat went down in a marshy area and the battery burned it to pieces, and all he had was like he could make out kind of like a ESC.
I don't remember that story.
The individual, but I remember him walking by my Explorer. I had the hatch up and he's looking in pretty intently, and I didn't realize it was the same individual. He's like, Yeah, I had one of those F4 hats. I'm like, oh man, I feel so bad. I can't remember the individual's name, but he shared a story about it going down in a marsh. They put on waders or something.
Yeah. Duke Connery, he says they fly there all.
And he loved that plane and was so upset that it was discontinued, as I am as well, because I can get parts for it.
I'm going to butcher the story, I'm telling you right now, but if you listen to the podcast, I think the gentleman said he was going to send it in, but the place they fly, like you said, was very marshy. They fly year-round. In the winter, it's great because everything's kind of frozen. But then in the spring and summer, it fills with water. And like you said, they usually take a pair of waders with them just in case, you know, one goes down. But, yeah, something happened and it went down. I can't remember the exact story. And the light bulb caught on fire, and they didn't really realize it. So they were looking around. I think they seen the smoke or something. Yeah. And got over there, and the whole plane was completely burned up.
He showed us a picture of it.
He did, yeah.
Parts that they retained.
There wasn't much left to it.
The light bulb really did it in.
And that reminded me, and again, I'm sure he said he was going to send it in, but in case he doesn't, I'm going to butcher this story too. Another guy we were talking to had a fantastic first-person view story. He was flying, I think he said his parents live on a lake. Remember this story?
Oh, yes. That was a great story.
He was flying FPV out around on a lake, and somehow he got around like a little bend or something and lost signal because the trees were blocking him. Didn't realize it, and the plane went down.
In the water.
So here he is. He's running.
Trying to get signal.
So he's running down like dock to dock, to house, trying to pick up signal and figure out where he was. And finally, he got a little bit of signal back, and he's looking through the goggles. He sees this boat go by, and it stops and picks up his airplane. He's like, no, wait, that's my airplane. No, don't.
And I think his dad or someone was helping him because he didn't know which. Mind you, there's all kind of boats out in the
lake. Yeah, he said there's like 40 boats out there.
He saw a guy in a boat pick it up. He's watching through his goggles or whatever.
Right.
He could see the video.
Right.
Had no clue which boat it was that picked up his plane at this point. And they're watching people come in, and finally, I think his dad saw the second boat came in.
Yeah.
And the funny thing
was he seen him pick it all up and everything was good. But then when he set it down inside the boat, he lost signal again. Yeah. So, yeah, his dad ran down to the marina and
they're like waving at because they're trying. They said they've had to look like fools. You know, they're just waving their arms and holding his transmitter up and everything else. But
he got his
that was pretty amazing that someone actually got it with the boat.
Yeah. So that was a great story. I had to laugh.
Otherwise, it would have been completely gone.
Yeah.
I forget who told us.
I can't remember either, but that was a good one.
I never saw LiPo batteries on fire, and I saw some puffs of smoke out at the event.
We did have a couple LiPo fires out there.
I saw someone, and I eventually got out because I think the one guy, was it Ryan, was coming looking for an extinguisher.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we think they smothered it out somehow out there because it was done by the time
I wonder if Wayne got any. I bet he did. Got some pictures of that.
Sure.
Because there was one on fire, and it was going good. I'm thinking, oh great, here goes the bean field.
Yeah.
Well, I think there was plenty of moisture.
Oh,
Nothing was going to get out of
the way. No.
That's one good thing. I
can't wait to see his photos.
Yeah, I didn't realize when he was telling me that he took over 4,500 pictures in 4 days. I was like, how are you going to trying to get it down to? He goes, I'll be happy if I get it down to 1,000. I was like, dang.
Someone teased him and said, you know there's video cameras that you can use. Because that made photos.
That was crazy. Anything else you got, Mike?
Well, I know unless we're way over, I do have a few flying stories recently.
Go for it.
Oh, recently?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I know Wayne flew without. Go ahead.
Real quick, did you have anything you wanted to add before we get into that for Flight Fest, Andre?
Other than just a humble thank you to everybody, and I guess we should say welcome to the world, Violet. For those who don't, I don't know if you and Wayne talked about it, Lindsay Zavada was like a champ and, you know, hanging out all through the weekend. And then,
that was an adorable picture of the baby, she is
a little sweetheart. Yes. Now Alex, like Sunday, Alex, I was teasing him going, so can we call you Big Daddy yet? And he's like, not yet. And so he was awesome because I think, I think I would have been a nervous wreck if I'd been hanging out all weekend, or maybe he was just so busy that it just helped him focus and everything. But they look like they're having that family looks so proud. So
yeah, and luckily, I mean, he must have had Verizon because if you didn't have Verizon there at Fury Field, you didn't have cell phone service.
I always have Verizon. I'm like, what is everybody complaining about? I got great signal.
Obviously, because I seen him checking his phone a lot throughout the weekend. So obviously.
And there was a rumor where she had it in the flight test tent. And Jen's like, I think we would know about that. Yeah. Teasing with us. She's like, no, she didn't have have the baby yet. So.
Oh, that's funny.
And I want to thank Jen, too, because she gave me some. Oh, that's another story. At Niagara Falls, my original flight test shirt.
The one you wear, like, all 4 days?
Yes. And we tease. We say, it's actually gray. And I said, at one point it was white.
Right.
Well, my wife can't stand it. Just because I wear it all the time. Nothing against the shirt.
Yeah.
I spilled syrup or something on it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I went running upstairs, and I took a wash rag, and I was scrubbing it in our hotel room. I burned a hole through it, scrubbing it so hard.
Are you serious?
And I'm like, oh, my heart just sank. I'm like, I'm never going to get another one of these shirts. They don't make them. I don't know where to get one. And I'm like, I love this shirt. It broke my heart. Mind you, it needed to be retired, but it was my favorite
shirt.
It's
like my FD Racer.
Hey, this is what we can do next year at Flight Fest. You can wear your T-shirt.
With the hole
and
all.
Yeah, with the hole in it. And Andre can put the FT Racer in the combat. And at the end, we can retire both of them.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, my shirt. I'm like in tears when I rubbed a hole in it. I'm like, I made it worse. I can't believe this. Oh, my wife's like, that doesn't surprise me. You're borderline OCD. She's like, I'm surprised you didn't do more damage.
You know, Mike, I bet around here, I think they still have some old original flight test
shirts. Oh, my gosh. I will pay top dollar for that.
They would probably give it away.
My wife would probably, oh, my gosh. She would probably shoot me if I brought another one home.
You just got to roll Eric Monroe.
But Jen did give me some deals on some of the other shirts there, and I got my son one. I'm like,
oh, good.
I came home stock for the family, too.
I really like those gray T-shirts. Yeah, those were really nice.
Yeah, if anybody hasn't, if you weren't at Flight Fest and you haven't checked the store out, or I'm assuming they're selling
some good articles out there. I got a hat. I picked up a hat, too.
Yeah, the new Flight Test shirts are really awesome looking. They're really cool. So,
I got James a cap, and he was all happy about that. So
good.
Yeah.
Someone was offended because Chad Capper said I was the number one flight test fan. They're like, wow, that's saying a lot. They didn't know I was on from the after hours.
Oh, that's
stuff.
Funny.
They're like, man, that's saying a lot. I thought, you know, I was. Like, I'm always sitting in the background, but I never miss an episode and stuff. And I said, I'm way behind the scenes. People, they only recognize my laugh. Yeah. That's how behind the scenes I am.
Yeah. And how many times throughout the weekend?
I don't know how many people came out. I know that laugh. Yeah. I know that laugh.
Yeah. All our voices. Yeah. It was fun.
And the bonfire, you were so exhausted at the bonfire.
Yes.
I ended up talking to this one kid. I think his name was Lucas. He was from Alabama. I'm like, you're from Alabama? You really hiding that southern accent pretty well. We got to talking. It sounded like his dad had a lot of good stories. Yeah. He was telling about his dad. I'm like, I really need to meet your dad. You know, he was telling me all his crash stories. I'm like, wow, he's had some good ones.
Yeah, the bonfire was interesting. And I talked about this in the first part, too, and see if you guys agree. But I just sat back really and listened, and I was like, if I had a recorder and to hear some of the people talking about not only the stories there at Flight Fest, but like the story, you know, just general RC stories, mm-hmm. there was some good stuff going
on. I was from flying my little Proto X around.
Oh, that's right.
The kids wanted me to fly it through the flyer. Yep, that's, like, right.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I love those things are awesome, the Proto X's.
And, you know, Jen's gift to Josh.
I didn't talk about that either.
I liked how the fans were teasing all that of us on the podcast table. You know, I bet there wasn't a dry eye there. You know, we're all dads. We're all suckers.
Right,
you know?
Right.
That was a great idea.
Just an awesome birthday gift, you know?
That
really was.
Yeah, that was a little tearjerker, I'll have to admit.
But to clue everyone in that.
Yeah, what Jen did throughout the whole weekend, well, I guess Thursday, Friday, and Saturday during the day, she had one of them little Polaroid cameras, the new style, and she was getting all kinds of instant pictures. She was, you know, getting group pictures, individual or whatever. And then she had this big, like, scrapbook.
All behind Josh's back.
Yeah,
Mind you, he was in the tent more than I've ever seen him in the tent.
I don't know how she did it without him. That. Yeah. And then she put all the pictures in there, and then we would write a little message in there, you know, happy birthday, blah, blah, blah. And it was this whole book, like scrapbook full of photos. Two.
She
put out
a second one for people that might have missed.
And during the podcast Saturday night, she came up and presented it with him. And, yeah, he was a little speechless there at first. He didn't know what to say. But, man, that was a fantastic gift.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Definitely did well on that one.
So on that note,
I think that pretty much that wraps up my Flight Fest experience. Well, I know.
Phenomenal experience. Already thinking about 2016, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely.
I apologize if I met you and didn't give you a shout out.
Yeah, that was a big thing. And I know you were talking about Andy, the farmer. And
he had great stories.
He had fantastic stories. And Wayne and I were racking our brain. We couldn't remember his name, so
I hope I got it right, man. I wrote down Andy Ross. I'm hoping that was his name. I'm pretty sure it is.
Great guy. All right, Mike. Well, you had a couple little things before we end. You wanted to mention?
Just side stories. Oh, go ahead. A little bit. Chad actually asked me to come over and fly Saturday evening, and then Wayne ended up being there, and I think you couldn't make it or something.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, gosh, Chad, I would love to, but I'm in Cedar Point.
Oh, that's right.
And he's like, well, just tell him you're leaving early. And I just got to Cedar Point when he sent this. I'm like, oh, that's not going to go over so well. I said, how about Sunday night? You know, I'll try to go out Sunday night. Well, I call him about Sunday afternoon, and I said, are you home, or can I come over and fly? He's like, no, I'm at a family gathering down in New Philly, and I'm like, which is about half hour away. And I said, well, just tell him you're going to leave early. He's like, aw, I see how this, you got your priorities straight, is what we were teasing each other. Well, anyways, I go over, and he wanted me to, I didn't realize he had something set up kind of for me. He's like, I kind of want us to fly the cell tower and get some images. He's doing some type of advertising for someone and wants to show quads acting like they're doing a visual inspection high up type of thing.
Yep.
I don't know what the end goal is or anything. I'm thinking to myself, oh man, he wants it close. I'm still very newbie to this kind of stuff. So he gives me, first of all, he's ballsy enough to give me a quad of his. He's like, oh, just fly it up there, get as close as you can. I'll be off the side. I'm going to be over here taking pictures with his hex copter, and I'm going to be, it was more like a race quad size he gave me. I forget who made it. I fly it around, got used to it a little bit, and it's all FPV, obviously. And I'm up there flying. I'm doing good. And then he tells me to kind of do 360s around the tower. And he thought I did well, but I felt like I was a lot closer than what I was. I'm not used to the depth of the FPV, the objects in front of you. Well, after watching his images, I was a little further than I thought, but I did brush up pretty close on some instances. So I got kind of confident, and I'm like, you know what? I want to do my H quad. So he had another battery, put his hex back up there. He went to one tower, and I get my hex up there. I'm on the back side. All of a sudden, it drops like mad. He's like, Mike, where are you going? What are you doing? I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm like full throttle, and I'm sinking like
crazy. Oh, deja vu,
like
Mike.
A brick. And I'm like, I'm going to be picking my quad out of the fence inside, you know, the base of this thing if I'm lucky, you know. I drop. All of a sudden, bam. I get a lift. I'm going back up, and he's like, "You're going back up after that?" And I'm like, "Okay, you know, I'm really tempting fate here. I want him to get a good shot. Whatever he wants to do, whatever." When I'm around Chad or David, it's like you just keep pushing the limit. They just keep egging you on, you know, type of a thing. So I go back up another brownout. I drop another 20 feet. I'm like, still not learning my lesson. I go back up there a third time. I was getting brownouts, some video interruption. I mean, there's probably all kinds of noise shooting from this.
It's a microwave tower, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it's a cell tower. So there's not too
still,
much.
Still, it's microwave. Yeah.
And anyway, so I ended up bringing both quads back. No wreckage. I'm like, perfect. Yeah. I did it fine. We got some good videos. But my fingers are sweating, you know, trying to do things I'm not used to doing.
So did you ever wonder how much?
But those brown, he said, yeah, Spectrum, for some reason, brownouts over there. I'm like, oh, thanks for telling me. I said, I know why they call them brownouts. Check my shorts. Yeah. Tell you what, I was
so. Do you ever wonder how much cell service interruption you guys were
causing?
Well,
that's the guys at work are telling me, you're the reason I'm getting dropped calls.
Probably had 100 people out there with dropped calls going, what happened? Mike's flying his quadcopter around the cell phone.
Don't say it's not my normal realm of flying, believe me, people. I wouldn't hope that would happen, but
oh, that's funny. Oh,
so anyways, at the end of the story, we got good footage. I got some flying in, some FPV flying. Had a blast. So
good.
I didn't get the. I did some repairs to my baby blender. I haven't put a carbon fiber arrow. In the wing to try to.
Yep.
I'm going to set some books on, get it nice and level. I had to repair the aileron. I broke it, taking it to his place. I dropped one of my quads on the aileron, so I had to do repairs on that. Then added to the. And I'm going to try to fix my FT22 that broke the nose. I've got a new nose being built for that.
Good. So.
Anyways, those are my little side fly stories that I got to get in there after Niagara Falls the one day I got back. So
awesome. All right. Well, we've been rattling on again for an hour and a half. So when I get these two podcasts together, man, you're probably looking at almost 3 hours of content. So if you're not happy with that, then I don't know what to tell you.
Wow.
So we'll get that out there as soon as we can. And
well, maybe next session we'll have a successful Periscope for you guys.
Yeah, I would like to check on that. You know, that's funny. I used that tablet with Andre for Skype the last time. We couldn't get no audio out of it. So maybe I ought to just use my phone next time. We'll try that and see what happens.
We'll test. Well, it's hard to test it.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll just do a little test first and see if it works.
Yeah.
So other than that, we got a ton of stuff coming up. We have
hopefully we get more flying now that baseball's done and get more stories out there.
Yes, baseball's done for a little bit. I got Mr. Zimmerman hopefully coming up soon. We're going to talk about the Air Bears, and also we're going to have Mark Lehman on to talk about the little 250 indestructible quad. So we got some stuff coming up here very soon. We're going to get those recorded and in the bag. And I know I keep saying it and saying it and saying it. We are going to do the crash stories, I promise you. Yeah. Sometime soon, we're just going to get in and knock them out and put that out for some bonus content.
Very good.
All right. Other than that, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Andre.
No problem. I enjoy it.
And we're going to get out of here, and we will talk to you very soon. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back here in maybe a week or so. All right.
See you guys later.
All right. See ya.
Bye.